Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Yo, 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 what it is? This is another episode of Balls Deep Sports, the premium sports podcast of the Blackout Tips Premium Podcast Network. I am your host, Rod. I am joined by my co-host, who's always here, except for that one time, Jay Trill. What's up, man?
What's up, man? I'm Jay Trill on 10. Since early this morning.
Gonna sleep good tonight.
Yes, sir. Oh, man. I woke up like this. imagine living with me and I wake up with just all that energy every morning like that, though. I feel sorry for my wife.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying, man.
Y'all pray for her.
Yeah, we go work out in the morning and stuff, so I have more energy in the morning now, too. Like, I wake up on 10 pretty much all the time. But half that time is just us doing the treadmill, so you know it's not that bad. There's always some other shit to do, but yeah. You just gotta put that energy to good use.
Like, oh, I put it to good use.
Cussing out Lance.
Well, that's only when I'm at the gym.
Oh yeah.
But he did. I officially didn't cuss him out yet. Yeah. I mainly kept asking him questions.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Why you can't keep your basketball? Why you so
insecure?
Insecure. Like, why you heard about the color socks I got on? I must be a better player than you. All those things.
Couldn't be a better player than me. all right. Let's play the music so we can get started today.
And he interrupted my conversation with you.
You know how when I go in the... What happened?
And he interrupted my conversation with you. We was talking, and he came over there and interrupted, worried about who up next. And I was like, if you just make the shot, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
that's
what
started it.
No, that was way after. That was after they lost, which was after we lost. So you started when he walked in the gym. Like, he walked in and you just was like, Lance, what you doing here?
I was like, what's
up? It's been so long. I didn't even know he played anymore. Then he said something.
Nah, that was Wednesday. That was Wednesday.
Okay, well, whatever. It was on 10. Is what I'm saying. It just started. You see, that's the thing. You keep thinking it resets. I'm gonna laugh when we doing this show one day and we like, yeah, man. And I had to hold Justin back because he was gonna hit Lance. I'm gonna be laughing too. Be like, yeah, because this I called this so long ago because it almost happened to me. Where was we at?
Howdy. You know how when I go in the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's right, Dad.
I'm talking about balls deep. In love, I wanna have sex with a personality. Dry hump her positive traits. Give a pound into her feelings. Make a south mouth salivate. Hey Tyra, are you listening? When I talking, just the tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
Just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much as they do today.
Huh, sorry to hear that. Where was I? We're talking about balls deep. Yes.
Hey, how many of y'all done got y'all hollow on using it? I want to have sex with your personality. How many of y'all use that?
Your positive traits.
I know they've been using it.
Mm-hmm. They got to love it, man. I guess we should start with the feedback from last week's episode, which is called It's Crazy to Me Too. We discussed listener emails, Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, the whole thing. What other show you know going to do that?
they're not as great.
Mm-hmm. Obviously not. The NFL, Steve Nash, Deion Waiters, national anthem, bunch of stuff.
I wish we could get Lance in here right now so I could thank him for motivating me for being so great.
Mm-hmm. We got an email from Tim Pimpin.
Says, what up, Tim?
Says, people, and you gotta be careful with that people. Sometimes it means people, and sometimes it means y'all niggas. People need to stop hating on Jordan's speech.
Oh, shit.
AKA me and Justin. The people. Niggas. Y'all niggas need to stop hating on Jordan's speech as petty, arrogant, and selfish, and need to listen to it from a competitor's point of view. Although he did not give a traditional Hall of Fame speech. That nigga gave a roast.
It was Comedy Central up there.
Yeah.
If he flew people out to embarrass them. And this, what do you mean non-traditional?
And this is after six other classy Hall of Fame speeches. You know what I mean? Like, people about to make me cry. Because it's, you know, we lived in a shack. And I remember my mom one time, she said, I'm not going to eat any of the beans in this can. So that you can go strong and big and be a good basketball player. And I cried over those beans that night. And my mama's right here. Mama, I just want to thank you so much. I love you. And then it's like, oh, everybody claps and shit. It's like, and then my daddy died of polio. But on his deathbed, when I was only 3, he made me promise that I would shoot 50 jump shots every day. And I just want to say thank you, daddy. That's why my dad. Shout out to heaven and all this shit. And then Jordan got up there and was like, listen, you broke bitches.
Still working in the same community at the car wash. The eyeball.
Where's that nigga Tyrone at? I flew him out here. I heard you still working down at the Home Depot. You broke ass bitch. Like, light a cigar and shit.
He's still only 6'8".
This nigga Barack Obama talking about, I'm a community activist and the president. Work on your jump shot, you broke ass nigga. See you on the golf course. Like, yeah, he gave a petty ass speech, man.
What was it was not one eloquent part about Jordan's speech. This nigga dissed his mama, man.
And why is us making jokes hating? Like, is that really hating? Like, hating would just be on some, like, you know,
making up shit. We didn't make up a thing.
We played the speech and laughed at the parts that were funny. You don't have a problem when we do that shit with everything else we do. I got something we're going to do that with today. Like, that's what we do. We make fun.
He disrespected his mama, man.
Yeah, it's you. You are partial to Jordan.
I don't have any friends that disrespect their mama.
Right. On national TV.
He disrespected his kids.
His own kids.
He threw his kids out there and told them, if y'all know what's good for you.
I wouldn't want to be you.
I keep paying for y'all because y'all my kids. I shouldn't have to take care of you.
Although he did not give a traditional Hall of Fame speech. I want to thank this and I want to thank that. Thank God, blah, blah, blah. He did mention thanks all of the people who have helped him out to get to this point, but it was done in a subtle way. Nigga, stop. Tim Pimpin, I can't believe you wrote this.
Tim,
man,
got every pair of Jordans ever made.
He got Bull versus Blakers. And this got Jordan versus Bird.
Yeah, it's no disrespect, but you can respect the man's shoes without liking that Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah, this is the celebrity worship we was just talking about with Bill Cosby, man. Like, it's okay. Heroes, quote unquote, fuck up sometimes. They do funny things. It's okay to laugh at Michael Jordan, dog. Yep. It's funny.
It's okay to admit he killed his own father.
Not to mention, I'm a fan of that speech, and he killed his own dad, and I've let it go because the speech is so good.
Yep.
If it wasn't for those gambling debts, maybe his dad would be alive if he hadn't gambled all that money and let his dad die.
Yeah, had he not told those mobsters, fuck you, I'm not paying you, had he just paid up the debts he owed.
Right.
His dad would still be alive today.
Exactly, Tim Pimpin. So maybe you should think about that next week when you write in, because I feel like those slanderous statements will you be right. You will definitely be writing in again.
None of that is factual.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any proof. But since when we need proof?
Right. We write all the time. Yeah. Off context.
So, yeah, he says people... Also, don't thank me in a subtle way, you stupid, ignorant motherfucker. Michael Jordan, you. What kind of shit is this? Like, is that what you want for Christmas? Yeah, I just thanked you in a subtle way. Then I bought myself an Xbox One. Fuck you, bitch. Here's a card. No, like, now's the time where you show a little gratitude, a little humility, man.
How about support of his ex-wife during all those years when he was winning those championships?
And you know what? If you don't want to do it, that's fine, but we still gonna laugh because it's funny that you didn't do it.
Yeah, he got his new side chick though. Yeah. Like she was raising the kids and helping him shoot jump shots in the gym with him.
She wasn't with you.
We know why Nita was there.
But yeah, people may think he needs to grow up and let go of grudges from the past, but MJ has indeed done so. The major purpose of him bringing back all these grudges against naysayers or adversities he had to go through from his past is because he's trying to explain what got him to become Michael Jordan, the legend today. All of the logs throughout the years added to his fire as the ultimate competitor chowed down every single opponent who has stood in his way. Cool. That's what makes him Michael Jordan. That's also what makes him an asshole that gives a terrible fucking speech. So can we laugh at the terrible speech? This nigga was mad at people who had imaginary beef with him, because he didn't even know. He had a roommate that was like my friend Michael, that did not know that Michael Jordan hated him until the day he gave that speech.
He helped Michael with his scholarship, making sure, you know, like his money went through, you know what I mean, before the season.
They assign you to people to put you under their wing.
Yep.
Like, hey, teach Mike, you know, the ropes around campus, the ins and outs of the program, how to deal with basketball. This dude doing all this shit, helping Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan, like, they wrote an article about you in the paper, you stupid motherfucker. I wasn't on the paper.
He probably the reason Jordan even went to Carolina, because that's probably who he paired him up with during his recruiting trip. You know what I'm saying?
And now look at him, hating on this dude.
This dude thought they were still cool. He thought he could probably still text Mike and be like, what up, dog? I'm in town. Let's go hit the golf course or something.
Yeah, when I'm in the podcasting Hall of Fame and I'm giving my asshole speech like Jordan, I just want you to realize that nobody's going to like it because it's fucked up if you're not Michael Jordan. Like, you're only making this okay because it's Michael Jordan. If I really sat down and was like, yeah, you know, first of all, I just want to thank Elon James White. You know, he came up with a podcast. I mean, it's nothing like my podcast. My podcast is always better. But I saw they wrote about him one time on TheRoot.com. And I said, they're going to write about me on CNN. And not no little whack-ass shit like him, because I come from a little town called Charlotte, and he's from New York. So fuck Elon James White. And, you know, that's what it takes to be the best. I'm like, people are going to be like, what kind of asshole move is that? Isn't it your friend?
Mm-hmm. I want to thank my wife for always being on all the shows with me.
Mm-hmm.
But
even though she was terrible, you know, her accent is terrible, and she holds me back every episode. But
yeah, but you know, she motivated me when I saw people was writing negative reviews about her. It just let me know I was doing the right thing.
Right. Yeah, I agree with them secretly. Like, yeah, these are terrible things to do for a person. I don't care if you're Michael Jordan. I still get to laugh at how terrible of a thing that was to do. So he says, we grew up watching MJ and the media as kids and thought of him as a role model and fine citizen, great human being. As we grew up to adults, we realized Jordan's true nature as a person as that he is the ultimate competitor.
I knew it as a kid.
And often he rubs people off the wrong way as the ultimate ass. The fact is, Jordan wouldn't be Jordan without being who he is, and people need to let go of the fairy tale hero and realize that in this cruel world, to win, you have to be the ultimate badass, not necessarily the ultimate people's champion.
I disagree with that.
No. I'm okay with that. But that just means we get to laugh. You can't have it both ways. You can't be like, I'm going to be an asshole so that I can be the best player of all time. But don't you laugh in my speech when I talk about how much of an asshole I am.
No, I disagree that you don't have to be that way.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. I'm saying ultimately for the point he's making, it don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you believe, that's why we're laughing. Did you want to just play the speech and be like, that was a great speech, man.
Bravo.
What a great guy. Anyway, this has been Balls Deep. That we're not going to make any jokes.
But they hate Kobe for the same reasons.
Dog. And you know who hate Kobe the most?
Tim.
Them goddamn MJ stands.
Tim Pittman.
They hate him. They hate that his life so much better than Jordan's. They hate that he got to live in L.A. his whole career. They hate that that nigga was like drafted by the Hornets. Was like, mm-mm.
Nope.
They hate him. You know, for the same shit that he shoots too much and doesn't get a ball to his teammates. Who does that remind you of? And I bet you he'll give a better Hall of Fame speech, too. I bet money. His speech won't even be all petty and shit. He probably forgive Shaq at the Hall of Fame, dog. That's how good Kobe is.
Phil Jackson, too.
Yeah.
That keep writing negative shit about him in all his books.
He'd be like, Phil, you wrote them books about me.
Has Phil said one positive thing about Kobe in them books?
I didn't read them books.
Like, not one. I mean, from the excerpts, it don't sound like it, though.
He probably said something positive. I didn't read it. That's how they do to sell the book. They lead with the negative thing he said. He probably wrote a whole chapter about how great Kobe is. And then like three sentences was like, but that one time he said blah, blah, blah. And that's what they read with. So, but I just don't get what Tim thinks we're supposed to do, man. Not laugh at the speech.
And by the way, have you ever balled in some Jordans?
Hell no.
The worst shoe was ever to play some basketball in, man.
I mean, I've never been able to afford Jordans, so.
The like worst shoes ever to play some I've basketball. I've never worn.
I mean, to me, that's the ultimate sign of stanhood is buying them Jordans. You know what I mean? Cause like, I've never known people that buy Jordans to play in them until I started playing at the Y, and I was 21 when that happened. You know what I mean? Like, yep. Before that, I never knew people that bought Jordans and played ball in Jordans. Like, that was stupid. Like, you either bought Jordans and went out to the mall, walked, you know, shit like that, go to the club, or you bought Jordans, or you played ball in some other shoes. Like, I remember the first time I seen people playing ball in Jordans, I was looking at their feet like they had, like their feet was on fire. I'm like, you playing in those? Like, MT and shit? I was like, I'm used to it now, but back then I was like, you about to play in them?
Yep, but now people buy them Kobe's to play ball in.
Yeah.
But they actually say they good shoes. I've never heard anybody say that about Jordans.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't keep up with celebrity shoes. Jordan's corporate image was the ultimate people's champion, but his true identity as a person and a basketball player was the ultimate badass and assassin. That was the purpose of his Hall of Fame speech.
I think Jordan is always a coward, actually.
Okay, man. What does this mean? What
I you know I never really liked Jordan because he would never speak up on certain issues.
Well, that's not fair because that's the same shit they said about Kobe.
Nah, Kobe speak up on issues all the time.
Nah, but when he said that when he had that article and he was like, I won't speak out on the issue unless I won't knee jerk or speak out on it. I have to be informed and know. People flipped out on him like he not taking stances.
Nah, but Kobe, he would wait till he get the facts out. Jordan just never spoke on anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, nothing at all.
Because he did have a famous Republicans buy shoes too thing when he wouldn't support Harvey Gantt over, I forget the white racist dude name, but the other dude.
Yeah, he just, and I was like, so you can't comment on anything? Like, you don't have an opinion one way or the other?
Like, I think people that like Jordan work backwards from, I like MJ, so therefore, everything he ever did, including his pompous Hall of Fame speech, is somehow okay. And I just don't worship celebrities, so I don't need to do that to appreciate how good a player he was. I still think, for my money, Michael Jordan is the best basketball player I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, no, he can ball.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this ain't about you. I'm just talking. I'm not, like, I still feel that way, but I don't need to be like, and it's okay that he cheated on his wife, and it's okay that he's gambled all, you know, that he's a degenerate gambler, and it's okay he punched his teammate in the face, and it's okay he gave a terrible Hall of Fame speech, and it's okay that he wouldn't take a stand politically, and it's okay. Like, I don't need to do all this shit to like him as a player, but a lot of people do need to do that shit. Like, he had the best basketball commercials, and the best marketing image and all this shit that I've ever seen in a player. But it doesn't mean that everything he does, we can't laugh at it or make jokes about it. If that's what the kind of show you want us to do, then you just gotta go listen to something else, man. Like, we're gonna get these jokes off Tim Pimpin.
Yeah, if we joke ourselves and each other, there's no way in the world we're not going to joke Jordan.
Yeah, like, it's weird when people think that dude's off limits for some reason. I get the purpose of the Hall of Fame speech that he gave, but it's not what the purpose of a Hall of Fame speech is typically, and it's why his was fucking terrible.
We spent a whole game joking our homeboy this morning.
Yeah.
We definitely going to joke Michael Jordan.
And even if you think, like, well, it wasn't a terrible speech, it's still funny. And he meant for it to be funny. People were laughing. Like, it got so awkward, people just started laughing. Like, I guess he talking shit about Dean Smith. I guess that's okay. Dean seemed to be laughing. I don't know. But we can't laugh on Balls G Sports. Okay.
It was an awkward laugh too, man.
Yeah.
Like, people was like, well, I'm just going to laugh because the camera's on. But that's some fucked up shit.
Why didn't Tim Pimpin write us when we went that broke down the Allen Iverson tape? Why didn't he write us then? Well, you know, his whole point was that, you know, the major players don't practice really when they get to that level. A lot of times they just sit down to walk through, and he was saying, how is practicing going to make everybody better?
Mm-hmm. How the hell is practice supposed to make?
Yeah. Crickets.
How is me practicing supposed to make them better?
Crickets, though. We ain't get no emails, no nothing for that.
And we appreciate all the emails.
Yeah, we really do.
Unless you ask them to some other podcast, the same as that question.
That's Justin, not me. Prince LeBron says, I wish I had the Cameron You Mad gift for our man Tim Pimpin.
God damn,
he must have been mad for the whole time y'all discussed the speech.
Was that all of Tim's email? I felt like his comments was longer.
That was all of it. Then he said, cheese eye stands are the worst.
Hey, look, guys, we want to respect everybody's comments while at the same time making fun of everybody's comments. Keep it funny, y'all. Keep it funny.
Hold on, I got to text Karen real quick. She did something wrong. All right, cool. Sorry. All right. Prince LeBron says he mad, and he's right. Tim, stop. Don't write us in with... Y'all can't be writing Ballsy Sports about us making jokes about shit. Like, what y'all want to do a serious sports show with no jokes? Because I'm going to make jokes about anything we discuss normally. Unless we're talking about some serious fucking shit, like, and a Hall of Fame speech ain't it.
Hey, if we did an actual serious show, how many people you think would stop listening?
I'd stop listening. We really sat down, like, you know, let's look at the X's and O's going into next week's game, Cincinnati versus the... Nah, I'm tired of that shit.
I don't watch shows like that.
I don't even watch shows like that. Why would you? We got to talk about the NFL last week, okay? Now, I had been struggling with my picks lately. 10, 7, 10, 8, 8. But last week, I hit rock bottom, guys. And if you listened to my picks last week, you did not make any money. I only got 5 right, and that's terrible. So the first game was the Bills versus the Miami Dolphins. I got wrong. We talked about that last week because that was a Thursday night game.
Yep.
I picked the Panthers to beat the Falcons.
I did, too.
Jeez.
And they could have won the game, man.
19-17. The fucking NFC South is a tire fire. It really is the worst, man. I've never seen it this bad before.
Yeah, because Atlanta 4-6.
Right. And I think they might be division leaders.
We could have been tied with them.
Tampa Bay still in this, technically. At 1-8. They still in it. The Panthers are ahead of them with 2 more wins and a tie. that was a terrible game. And Cam, the whole offense looks bad until the fourth quarter when they actually let Cam play. You notice that? Like, it's the same pattern every week with them. Trailing, playing terrible, trailing. Then finally the coach is like, fuck, we down 14. We need to get back in it. Just let's hurry up the offense and let Cam do more shit, and then they always get right back in it, but then they lose.
Cam, you call the plays. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you got it, man. Fix this. The Vikings, I had them beating the Bears. The Bears are 3-6, man.
How did they win this game?
And the Vikings are 4-5, and they, of course, lost to the Bears.
What is Teddy Bridgewater doing, man?
Yo, I told y'all this shit a couple weeks ago. Nobody wanted to believe me. He's a nigger. All right, guys. I hate to say it. I know. I know. It's crazy to me, too.
Nah, it's because they don't run the ball anymore. And they could, but they don't give it to their running backs anymore. They literally just like 10 running plays a game.
Which is weird because, like, they were running it for pretty well for a while. And they just decided, like, yeah, we done with that. Running the ball? Why?
Yep.
But he only threw it 28 times. So it wasn't even like they threw the ball a lot. He's just, and I'm not saying he's terrible, but he's just got a little nigger in him, man. He likes to run without looking sometimes. He tries to make plays with his feet. You just got to get back there in the pocket, throw the ball, and do what the white boys do sometimes, man. Like, can't be using that black athleticism all the time, man. I'm sorry, man, Teddy Bridgewater.
They rushed the ball 16 times that game.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's like 16 rushing plays. That's why y'all losing.
In a game that they weren't like getting smashed in.
Yep. And it's 6 yards per rush. That's their average. Like,
that's terrible.
You averaging 6 yards, you want to run the ball a little more.
Yeah. And they didn't stick with it. Cincinnati Bengals lost to beat the New Orleans Saints. I got that wrong. I guess I was just relying on Andy Dalton's terribleness to continue. And
Drew Brees stunk it up, man.
Yo, what's wrong with Drew Brees? Is it time to start panicking?
Is he even fantasy relevant this year?
I feel like he's droppable in a lot of fantasy leagues. Like, I'm not saying I would drop him, and I'm not saying that the smart move is to drop him, but I feel like there was a time when you was like, oh, Drew Brees, top 4 fantasy quarterback, of course. Not anymore. Like, I don't think he's that guy.
Not this year.
Yeah, which I don't know why, though. Do you know why? Because I watched the game, and I'm like, the only thing I can think of that changed, and this is the thing everybody gets mad at me when I say, but they don't got Sproles. And that little check down used to be fucking hard to check, but, you know, nobody wants to hear that shit, so it is what it is.
Yeah, he putting up the same numbers as Cutler. Like this?
That's terrible, yeah. For him, it's terrible. I mean, anytime Big Ben Roethlisberger is ahead of you.
Right.
I mean, that's not supposed to happen, dog. I mean, him, he fell off, man. Like, Tom Brady fell off, but at least he's trending back up. Drew Brees just consistently giving you nothing. Like, I would hate for him to be my fantasy quarterback because it meant that you spent a top 4 fantasy, like, quarterback pick on him, and you're not getting that type of performance.
Well, he used to be in the top 4 fantasy. Mm-hmm. Him, Brady, Peyton, and maybe Luck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The last few years.
And looking at it, it's not like he's been terrible, but it's just like if I told you you could have waited and got Jay Cutler and got 2 less fantasy points for the whole season so far, you would have been like, oh, yeah, I'd rather do that and spend that pick on something else. Right. Who else do we got? Saints. Oh. Houston Texans beat the Cleveland Browns with their backup running back and a quarterback I've never heard before in my life. Cleveland back to being Cleveland? Is that what's happening? Because they were 6-4. Lead, like, if people was like, are they about to run away with this division? Are they the... Is Cleveland finally ready to make the leap? And now it's like a week later, back to life, back to reality.
Was this game before or after the Ben Tate cut?
Before. But maybe that's why they cut him. They was like, hey, man, we can do bad by our damn self.
They won this game because of the defense, man. Like, and that's how Houston been winning all their games. It has nothing to do with Aaron Foster.
J.J. Watt. It's J.J. Watt out there by himself.
He out there catching touchdowns,
man. Catching touchdowns. He getting touchdowns on defense. Pretty soon he going to be kicking the ball off and catching the ball.
Why can't he be on the fantasy? Why can't you pick him up as a fantasy player?
Like, can I put him at tight end? Because it might be worth it.
Yo, I actually would start him.
Like, he'd be the only tight end where I get 2 points for a sack, a fumble recovery. Like, I don't know, dog. He can be relevant.
Yeah, that's. And they 5-5 just off him. Imagine if they had an offensive team. You know what I mean?
Imagine if Arian Foster could stay healthy.
If they actually passed the ball to Andre Johnson more than 6 times a game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's that bullshit. Man. I want to punch somebody in the face with Houston.
Well, yeah, I missed that one. Another one I missed, and I think everybody missed this except maybe a handful of people. The Broncos and the Rams.
This game was embarrassing, man.
I watched this whole game like, what is happening? Like, when is Peyton Manning going to turn back into Peyton Manning? And I mean, the Rams defense is much better than you think. And it's weird because they only have like 5 wins, but all they wins is against good teams.
Isn't it though?
It's crazy. Like they beat Seattle, the 49ers, Denver, like.
And they smashed them, but 22-7 is not luck.
Yeah, it's not at all. Like,
it's not luck.
You shut Peyton Manning down to 7 points and put out all his good players.
Shouts out to Demaryius Thomas, though, getting that touchdown for me.
Yeah. Like, the only win they have against a bad team is Tampa Bay. You know, which is hard to lose to.
Hey, man. But them hits they was laying on.
Nigga, I had. If you started any Broncos, your ass was nervous. I know I was. I started Emmanuel Sanders. I looked up. I said, this nigga dead. Like, I don't know if you saw it, but he tweeted a picture of himself in the club. He said, they said I died during the game. Well, this must be heaven. It was him surrounded by a whole lot of white women. Did you see that?
I haven't seen it.
Hold on. I'm about to put it in the chat. But yeah, I saw that picture. He said, Wikipedia said I died after the game last week. Well, I must be in heaven. And it's just him. And he is surrounded by white women for some reason.
I mean.
It is Denver, but I mean, they don't got no sisters up there.
Well, you saw what happened to Kobe Bryant. Stay woke.
Yeah. He still got a concussion right there. Maybe that girl back there to his right might be a sister.
It's not cold in Denver. I feel like he should have on more than a t-shirt.
He like he inside, though. He probably in
but
the
I
club.
Mean, everybody else got on long sleeve shirts and everything else. Mm-hmm. I feel like the concussion got his body temperature raised up a little bit. It's not self-regulating.
But, yeah, that nigga got hit, man. I said, dude, you know it's bad when your fantasy player gets hit and you do want him to come out the game? Because normally when your player gets hit, you're like, man, just walk that shit off, get some more. Nigga, he got hurt. I said, please just sit him, Lord. Just sit him wherever 3 are gathered, Lord.
Yeah, let him come back for next week.
In your name, we pray. Start praying for that dude as soon as he got hit. Because I was like, whatever. It's like, we got to take him to do the concussion protocols. I was like, yeah, just let him sleep.
Did the other dude that hit him, did he get, cause.
Yeah, he didn't get kicked out, but I think he did get a penalty. I don't know if he got a fine either.
And the reason I feel like he should have been kicked out is cause he was in the air.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't straight up vertical, but he was lean, horizontal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he definitely tried to take him out, man. Like, I get that they're in a difficult position and I understand that, but. It seemed like that kind of play, and it was flagged, like that kind of play just is what ends motherfuckers' careers.
And like you said, they not looking at the ball. So he clearly was looking at him then. They looking at the player. So he was looking at him the entire time.
Yeah, it wasn't a coincidental when like sometimes you'll see two players running to each other and it's like, even if it is a flag, it's like, it wasn't malicious. This nigga was looking at Emmanuel Sanders like, oh, you going to lay out too? Okay. Well, you will be laid out, all
right. That was personal right there, man. That had to be personal. Like, that was beyond, that was more than football on that play.
So, if you're paying attention at this point, I have not got any right yet. So, now we get to the Seattle Seahawks versus Kansas City Chiefs. And I missed that.
Man, I think everybody missed it.
Arrowhead, man. Kansas City Chiefs were good at home, man. Gave Seattle the business 24-20. And it really was a much, like, they only won by 4, but it felt like they won by 47 because, like, the offense for Seattle was struggling so much.
I didn't even see any of that game, just the highlights. And, like you said, it looked like they were struggling.
Yeah.
And I really am mad that Baldwin is the number one receiver on this team.
He is the worst. He never get open.
And then the game you sit him, he gonna get 20 points for you.
Yep. Welcome to the league.
But he is the worst.
Because Russell
man.
Wilson is so good at quarterback, he will throw it to people that you've never heard of.
Yep.
You're just like, who the fuck is this nigga getting this touchdown? It's like, yeah. Because, like, he only had 178 yards passing for Russell Wilson. Although he did have a 98.2 rating, for a quarterback, which is pretty good. He had 71 yards on the ground. Beast Mode was killing with 124 yards. But here's the people he was throwing to. Curse, who nobody had started on their fantasy team.
Right. Forgot he was in the league.
L. Wilson.
They probably thought there was a typo.
Baldwin, who got 6 catches, 45 yards a touch. P. Richardson. C. Helfett. Marshawn Lynch for 1 catch. And T. Moyaki for another touchdown catch. Like, the boy just throws. He a machine. He just throws to whoever's open. But it's so crazy to, you know, to try to predict who's going to catch a touchdown on that team.
Yep. He just want to get it to whoever open, but it's fucking up my fantasy points, dog.
Dog, I finally got one right. 49ers playing the Giants. And the only reason that they won is because Eli Manning threw to 49ers every goddamn play.
Wasn't that game? It was still a terrible game, man.
Dude.
That game was terrible.
This is the 5th loss in a row for the Giants. What happened?
Remember that people thought they was going to be good this year?
Remember what?
They won no games early.
Yeah, we was watching the preseason games. Like, yo, these niggas about to be epically terrible. And Eli threw 5 picks. 5.
I wish I had San Fran defense.
Dude, everybody does. 5 picks though. What? And then it's funny because I was talking to when you talk to those Giants fans, they be in such denial.
Steve, were you talking to Steve?
It might have been Steve, might have been somebody else. I was like, why didn't y'all just run the ball? It's like, cause the running game wasn't really, working. I said, nah, y'all was getting 3.5 yards a carry. You know, like.
And they got a good running back too.
Yeah, y'all got Jennings back. And he was like, yeah, but you know, we run the ball, and if we would have ran the ball, you know, we would have got stopped and stuff. I was like,
it's better than interceptions.
But you throwing picks.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't like. You're throwing 5 picks. Like, how many picks do you have to get to before it's like, maybe not?
As people consistently talk about how effective the running game has been for multiple championship teams, Super Bowl winning teams.
Yeah.
Why now do you feel like that formula is not going to work anymore?
Mm-hmm.
It wears the defense down. And when you have a guy throwing picks, the fourth quarter, you want the defense to be tired.
Yeah, Eli and Peyton just... It's like they was like getting nervous about Thanksgiving dinner or something. Like, why are y'all both throwing picks at the same time?
Eli shouldn't have been worried, man. He got 2 rings.
Yeah.
He still cut the turkey.
But apparently he was nervous about something because them niggas came out there and threw all them picks.
Peyton tried to show Thanksgiving dinner with his plaques and trophies.
Yeah.
And Eli just be like, 1 ring, 2 rings.
Peyton only threw 2 picks, but that's like 12 for him. Cause he's paid man.
Well, and he still only had that 1 touchdown.
Mm-hmm. The Bucks played the Redskins. I had the Redskins winning. The Bucks stomped the Redskins.
Didn't they? They
to get
the
their
shit.
First win of the year and cause pandemonium in the Redskins locker room.
Congratulations to you, Shirley.
Pandemonium in the Redskins locker room, though. RG3 talking about it ain't on me, but it's on me, but it's not on me.
No, nah, it's not.
It's kind of on y'all.
That's not what he said. What he said was,
"Oh, we gonna play the press conference." Now you gonna make me get the comments. God,
I'm gonna tell you what he said. Because you gonna play the video, but it's gonna be taken out of context. It's gonna be chopped and screwed. What he said was, "Them motherfuckers on my team ain't shit. I'm tired of carrying them. That's why I got hurt last time. From now on, I'm just gonna throw the ball away." Be a pocket passer. Take from it what you
morning,
will.
Guys. How y'all doing?
Oh, wait. Hold on. It could. Well, now he's not saying that. Now he's probably just saying 49ers. I forgot
that's
about
all about
that
the 49ers?
Yeah. But, he said some shit about how, what was it? It was something like.
He just said it's 11 guys on the field.
Yeah.
It's not all on one person. Like, if those guys play better, I'm going to play better. They know I have their backs.
Mm-hmm. And then DeSean Jackson joined in. Then y'all's coach went on TV. Was like, RG3 need to just worry about his footwork. He terrible.
Coach, you had 2 weeks to prepare for today's game. Where did you fall short, and
how do you explain what happened just now?
I have no explanation right now. I just have to congratulate Lovie Smith and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They came in and played with greater effort, made plays, key situations, and we didn't. And turnover battle, we lost significantly again. Gave up 6 sacks, turned the ball over 3 times.
Yeah, anyway, let me get to the so RG3 said it takes 11 men. It doesn't take one guy. That's proven. If you want to look at the good teams in this league and the great quarterbacks, the Peyton and the Aaron Rodgers, those guys don't play well. Their guys don't play well. They don't. We need everybody. I need every one of those guys in that locker room, and I know they're looking at me saying the same thing. So DeSean Jackson, the dude.
Comments not that bad, though, right? What you think about those comments?
I don't think it's that bad, but I just realize the environment that he's saying them in, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
No one's going to take him and be like, you know, no one's going to be like, oh, he nailed it. Finally, he said what we all were thinking. They're going to be like, no, nigga, it's on you as a quarterback. Take the damn responsibility. Meanwhile, if he was if he had won more than 5 games in the last 2 seasons, mm-hmm. and hadn't been hurting shit, and he said the same exact comments after a loss, people would have been fine with it.
You know, it's funny. Cam said the same thing, and they ripped Cam. For saying that. Then when Cam started saying it's all on me, well, they ripped him for that too.
Yep. Oh, he gonna catch it either way. RG3 gonna catch it either way. But DeSean Jackson, the guy you rejoiced about getting last year.
He been balling too. I wish he had teammates to play with him. There's 11 guys on that field.
He put on Instagram, you can't do epic shit with basic people.
So true. That's real talk right there. Shouts out to you, Robert. Get your shit together.
Yep. So,
I bet you he be talking shit about his knees too. In the locker room. I know he be joking his knees.
Y'all need to just pick up, Percy Harvin and just make it a set.
I don't know if they would get, DeSean and Percy would get along or not.
I mean, what do you care? You think those guys are pretty good guys.
They are good guys. Great guys, actually.
Mm-hmm. Good locker room people.
I'd go to the club with them.
Yeah, good locker room presence.
Mm-hmm. They keep it all the way 100. That's what you want in the locker room.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. How can I play this? Nope, that's not what I want to see. Anyway.
Is it Robert's sex tape?
Nah, Jay Gruden ripped RG3, and I was looking to see his comments for what he said, because it was, oh, yeah, he said he needs to worry about himself. That's the ultimate shut the fuck up, boy. When they say you need to worry about yourself, stop talking about everybody else. You suck, nigga. And, you know, RG3 not going to be able to take that, because he's kind of a sensitive dude.
Oh, he's sensitive.
And he definitely has those rabbit ears up. He's one of those black quarterbacks that swear they never experienced any racism and shit, too. So,
But this is what he need, though, because people have been trying to say, you know, that he got the owner's ear and all that other stuff. That's what Shanahan tried to say. But you clearly see Gruden like, nope, I talked to him how I feel.
He says, Robert needs to worry about himself, and I'll worry about everybody else. He elaborated too much. He said, if you don't want to look at the good teams in the league and the great quarterback. Oh, wait. So that's RG3's thing. Gruden spent the morning trying to smooth over the situation. I'm mad they didn't go into the full details, because he also went into how his steps was wrong. Yep. He was reading the wrong part of the field.
Learn his reads.
Yeah, it got real petty. Like, it got so petty. Let's see.
But Gruden as the coach, those are like, he can't be petty as the leader of the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Robert might be the quarterback, but the coach is the leader of the team.
Right. Are you leading by example? Because that's not a good example. You told him not to be petty and talk to the media by being petty and talking to the media? No, what? I learned it from you, okay?
Yep.
I learned it from you. I addressed a couple of messages today that got turned around a little bit, said Gruden. I don't know exactly what DeSean meant, but I think he was a little bit frustrated with what came out about Robert. Robert, whatever he said about the post game got twisted around a little bit, and I addressed it today in the meeting room. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because after they lose to the 49ers, I hope Robert at that podium says, well, you know, they got coach got to call better plays. I worked on my footwork. I worked on my reads. But the plays, they not working.
Well, you know, also.
Let's get it together, coach.
Also, to me, what I hate about this shit is when you criticize certain things about black quarterbacks, you're dog whistling racism. Like he doesn't read the field well. His dropbacks aren't right. Steps into pressure. It's almost like that black people aren't smart enough to play the position. Like thing. Like if I had a white quarterback, we wouldn't be going through all this shit, but these niggers. So, yeah, I do worry about that kind of shit.
The other thing, you know, that I don't like about when they talk about certain quarterbacks, black or white, is that, like, as the coach, you're supposed to teach and train him to do certain things and mold him into the player you need him to be the best player he could be, mm-hmm. right? Now, some people have it naturally. Some people have been working on it longer than others. Some people went to quarterback camps and learned those things. Some people weren't fortunate enough to do that. If he not understanding the reads, as the coach, you need to teach him how to do those things. And apparently for the last 3 years he's been in the league, nobody's taught him that. I don't know what he need to do on his own to learn how to do those reads. Maybe call Donovan McNabb, but, you know, he has, you know, but at the same time, that falls on the leadership, in my opinion. Like, I can't manage a hospital and not hold people to a certain standard of, you know, confidentiality and things like that if I don't have trainings for them to understand it.
But some players just don't got it.
Yeah, I can see Geno not having it.
Yeah, like I don't think there's any amount of training certain people going to take to make them work. It's just never going to work. All that being said, all this shit is irrelevant because we've seen RG3 make it work. And you know what I mean? Now, I know defense is adjusting all this shit, but we've seen that he can put up phenomenal numbers in the right situation. Now, either that first year is an anomaly and he'll never be able to reach that level again, or he's just got bad coaches and staff around him. And it's the Redskins, so I'm inclined to believe the latter. But once you break the toy is broken. So they may have broken RG3, and it might not matter from this point on what they want from the dude. They're going to get nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. The Raiders played the San Diego Chargers, and the Chargers won 13-6 in a very ugly ass game. The Raiders were 0-10 at this point, which is just terrible.
Shout out to Oaktown.
Shout out to Jameis Winston.
That's where you're going. Yeah. We might get him.
Oakland Raiders, the Jameis Winston sound makes sense to the Oakland Raiders.
We might get him though. He fits in Washington with all the rest of the stupidity.
Oh yeah. Detroit Lions they lost to the Cardinals. I picked the Lions, so I lost that.
I can't believe they lost to the Cardinals, man.
With a backup quarterback, too.
Right.
And Larry Fitzgerald got hurt, and they still lost to the Cardinals.
Field goals. Awesome field goals.
Now, I did get the next two right. Packers beat the Eagles. They beat them the breaks off of 53-20. people always ask why I don't get too excited about the Eagles and why I don't say shit about, you know, yeah, motherfuckers, we back. And 7-3 ain't shit if you're watching these games.
They came from Washington and the Giants.
Mm-hmm. If you're actually watching these games, that 7-3 don't mean a goddamn thing, man. The Patriots beat the Colts. I did pick that.
I picked Luck. And he got the wheels beat off him.
Got the brakes beat off him. Like, Tom Brady was like, boy, let me tell you something.
I'm still mad I let Tom Brady go when I had him.
Yep. Pittsburgh beat Tennessee, and I got that right. They beat him by 3.
Which, yo, they very almost close. Lost this game, man.
Such a close game. I'm so glad I be working during Monday Night Football, so I can't really see how my picks is turning out, because good grief.
Hey, man, fantasy football is stressful, man.
It really is.
I couldn't imagine these leagues where people got, like, multiple thousands of dollars on these leagues.
Man, we need to make our picks, though, for week 12. I picked Kansas City last night.
Who didn't?
I already lost that.
Lost that too.
All right, let's just go through the list.
Man, Oakland is one. They won a game, man. Washington might end up in last place, but first in the draft just based off of that. Because it's contagious. And how Kansas City beat Seattle but lose to Oakland?
Don't make no sense. On the road in Oakland, maybe. Maybe it's because they were at home at Arrowhead. The Browns play the Falcons. Give me the Falcons at home over the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going with Cleveland again. They disappointed me last week, but I hate to say this. But
yeah. You know, I'm probably fucking up, too, because I keep switching my pattern. Keep switching my pattern. Maybe I should switch back and be like, this week I am voting for Cleveland.
But while I dislike Cleveland,
I'm changing it to Cleveland.
I hate Matt Ryan a lot more.
I'm changing it to Cleveland, man. Atlanta is a terrible team.
Yep.
Tampa Bay Bucks, Chicago Bears, at Chicago Bears. I'm going to go Chicago Bears.
I'm going Chicago, too. It's going to be cold as hell.
Yeah. And Tampa Bay, I just don't believe in them.
Sorry, Shirley.
Cincinnati Bengals at Houston Texans. Give me... Oh, wait. Foster is still hurt.
I'm going to Cincinnati.
I'm going to go Houston Texans at home.
I'm going with the redhead ginger.
Detroit Lions play at the New England Patriots. Give me the Patriots.
Patriots.
Self-explanatory. Green Bay Packers play the Giants. Give me the Green Bay Packers over everybody right now.
Who going Minnesota right now anyway?
Yeah. Not Adrian Peterson.
Hey, man, Green Bay might win a Super Bowl this year.
The way they look.
They looking that good right now.
Yeah.
I hope they didn't peak too soon.
Right. The Eagles play the Titans in Philly. The Titans are 2-8. The Eagles are 7-3 with Mark Sanchez at the helm. I'm going to go Eagles.
They made that Tennessee game. I mean, they made the Pittsburgh game close. I'm changing my pick. I'm going Tennessee. I did have Eagles. I'm going Tennessee.
Jacksonville Jaguars play at the Indianapolis Colts. Give me the Colts.
Man. If Luck stink it up 2 weeks in a row, man.
There's going to be some huge upsets if the underdogs win.
We got to start calling for his job.
Rams at the Chargers. Give me... Ooh, shit. Give me...
Chargers? The Rams keep beating the good teams.
Now, Chargers are only 6-4, so do they count as good?
Better than the Rams.
Yeah, but that ain't been the secret. The secret being they beat good teams. They have no business beating.
I mean, the Chargers put all the points up against Seattle that one game. They had that shootout. I'm going Chargers, though.
Yeah, I can't. I'm sorry, Rams. I can't do it. I can't call y'all. Cardinals play at the Seahawks. Man, Seahawks are only 6-4. I got to go Seahawks.
I'm going Seahawks. And only because they're at home. I really want to pick the Cardinals.
The Denver Broncos will get back on track against the Miami Dolphins.
I'm never going with Tannehill.
The Washington Redskins play the 49ers. The 49ers will win that.
Y'all know who I'm going with.
Cowboys at the Giants. Give me the Cowboys.
Romo with the two hurt vertebrae.
The New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. Give me the... I can't pick
I skipped
the Jets.
This. How did I skip this
yeah.
pick? I'm going Buffalo, though. No, they moved the game, though, so I don't know. Because didn't they say it's not going to be in
Detroit.
Buffalo?
It's in Detroit.
Who quarterbacking the Jets? Vic? I'm going to go with Vic still quarterbacking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I'm going to go Jets.
And then the Ravens play at the Saints. Give me the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And
24-13.
Yeah, I'll say the Ravens 10 and the Saints 13. Because they haven't been putting up a lot of points lately.
I can't believe I picked Mike Vick.
Then we got to make our week 13 pick for Thursday game. The Bears play at the Lions. Give me the Bears. I mean the Lions.
Lions for me.
I meant Lions. Whoops. Why did I say Bears? All right. And then what else? All right. Well, I guess we can do these articles since we ain't getting no emails this week. Who are the highest paid sports commentators in the world? It's on a website called therichest.com. Someone sent us. Number 10, Don Cherry. He makes $800,000 a year and dresses like a Tennessee pimp. And he does fucking like NHL announcing, so it's not even.
Don't nobody know. Because yeah. I know, I was like, well, who the fuck is he? His name sounds familiar, but.
Yeah.
Well, congrats to you, Don Cherry. Get that money. The bald-headed, white-haired pimp.
Yeah, he always says racist shit, too. Like, he's got a history of problems. Charles Barkley gets $1.6 million a year.
They love him on TNT.
Because he's so athletic.
Black people holding you back, though, Charles.
Yeah, it's us. It's our fault, man. Mike Tirico, $3 million a year. That's a lot of money.
And hell, does he do more than NFL games?
I don't think so. And he's a straight man college commentator too. So it's not even like Mike Tirico is the dude who does the, that comes out and does the play by play. I mean, does the, color commentary. He does the straight shit where it's like third and two on the 27-yard line.
You think he got pictures of somebody's wife?
That'll be $3 million, please.
He got pictures of somebody's wife in his home, man.
Yeah.
He has to.
Chris Berman makes $3 million a year. Now, he make the same as Mike Tirico. Seems like he should make more.
Yeah, because he should have a veteran's contract. He should be in the top three.
And his job seemed harder.
Because he do all the games, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he does. Yeah, he does.
Like he
Sunday countdown, and he does all that Sunday, moderating a panel of fucking hotheads.
Yeah, he had to work at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Tirico just show up for the game and leave.
Al Michaels makes $5 million a year.
What is he doing?
He
used to do Monday Night Football, right?
Yeah, I don't know what he does now.
Damn, John Madden got him lots of money.
Joe Buck makes $5 million a year, too, looking like white privilege.
Mm-hmm, because he's not that entertaining.
Mm-mm. He's born and he hate black shit. Oh, now why do the players have to dance after every time they get a first down?
That's why he make $5 million.
Jim Nance makes $5 million.
Don't even know who he is.
NCAA tournament games.
Oh, that's why.
Patrick makes $5 million. Bob Costas, just to be petty, $5.5 million.
Now is Dan Patrick getting that money from ESPN or from a different network?
ESPN.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I think. Oh no, you're right. He's off there. But he's the host of NBC's Sunday Night Football program. Bob Costas gets $5.5 million. Or did I just say that?
You did say it, but I asked a question about
Dan Patrick. Brought us back. Okay, yeah. Bob Cousins gets 5.5. You think the extra 0.5 is for them pompous speeches he be giving at halftime?
Yep. Yeah. About LeBron?
Yeah.
And we're going to get extra 5 you talk about LeBron.
Yeah, he always be like at halftime. Not even at. No, I'm talking about halftime of the NFL games. He's like, he'll be like, gun control is a very serious issue. Like, ain't nobody tuning in for this.
But don't he always say shit about LeBron, too?
I feel like he's the dude. During the NFL Sunday night games? I don't think so.
No, is that the only, that's not the only thing he does, though, is it?
I feel like it kind of, like he had an HBO show, but I don't even think they do that anymore. So, And Jim Rome makes $30 million a year. Damn.
Fuck, how does he make $30 million? I mean, get your money, but I haven't liked any of his shows yet.
Damn, you a big balling ass nigga. $30 million? Well, Bo, that's one of his influences, career-wise, is Jim Rohn.
But I haven't liked any of his shows yet.
Yeah, he's like Bo without the coolness. But his shows do have, after I listened to him before, when for a while he was the only thing on in Charlotte for sports for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's an acquired taste, but... thank you, baby. I actually did like it. After a while. Oh, I don't even know if she wanna join
you us. You joining the show, Karen?
Can I? Of course you can.
Yeah.
It's your show too?
Alright, I'll give you a second.
Alright. Come in like a kid. Can I be on the show? Of course you can be on the show.
Yeah, you don't even gotta ask.
Yeah, just come and hop on this mic. But Jim Rome, when I say he's like Bo, if you ever listen to The Morning Jones, a lot of the times when Bo talks, his cadence and the way he broke down his subject matter came from Jim Rohn. Now, that doesn't mean they share the same opinions. Doesn't mean that, that he's like some type of Jim Rohn clone or some shit like that. Even Bo will tell you that Jim Rohn had the biggest influence probably on his broadcasting style. Because it's a lot of pregnant pauses and stuff. And Bo does that a lot, where he'll just have a pregnant pause and think about something. And I think people have forgotten because of Morning Jones, it was just basically him, Sasha and Corey with him doing most of the talking. And they didn't have any commercial breaks until 22 minutes into each hour. So each segment had to be 20 minutes and then you go to commercial. And I think Bo used to basically be like, how do I stretch out what this one subject for 20 minutes? And he would make it work, you know, but part of that is using the pauses like Jim Rome does. So it's a lot of like, because guys don't understand what's going on. They don't understand what's going on. What's going on?
Yeah, that, I don't think that's my issue.
I wasn't done yet. I wasn't done yet. I'm still going.
Fuck you and your pregnant pauses. Just had a baby already.
Going on. On and on. Like a Rolling Stone. The duders. And you'll just be like, is this dude, like, does he realize that he's just
Bo making, in that extreme.
Making all these pauses? No, that, but no, Jim Rome is that extreme.
Oh, okay.
No, Bo just took some of that. I ain't, like I said, he's not a clone or nothing.
Yeah.
But you can ask him. He'll tell you, like, yeah, listen to Jim Rome, and I think he may have interned or worked with him or some kind of way.
That, I know he used to guest appear on that sometimes. And that's the only time I watched the show because I didn't like it.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm not a big Jim Rohn fan, but I've appreciated him over years, you know, over the years or like, and like I said, it's a culture that you have to get used to. Because after that, that's when you're like, oh, I see there's something to this. It's not just like when he has callers call in and shit and they talk like him and they do their thing. That's another thing that he's good at, that Bo's good at is letting the callers kind of be themselves and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think Jim Rome on Showtime now. I know they cut him from ESPN a while back. I think he on so Showtime kick out that money, man. They kick out that money for boxing and Jim Rome.
Mm-hmm. But so Reason makes $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of,
I need to change my delivery then.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of pregnant pauses.
I'm not doing it. Pregnant pause.
speaking of pregnant pauses, Jose Canseco is selling his middle finger and the gun that he shot it off with on eBay.
Times really that hard, Jose?
Seriously, he snitched on his own finger. What the fuck? things haven't been going so well for Jose Canseco's left middle finger ever since he shot it off in late October. Well, he was always fingering the people.
So he don't like that song. Put your middle fingers up. Put your middle fingers up.
He pick up his middle finger in his other hand. Late last week, Canseco announced that his finger fell off during a poker tournament. This tragically disgusting incident led to Canseco admitting that he really never should have bothered having the finger reattached in the first place. Now that he no longer has use for his detached appendage, he's finally getting rid of it along with the gun he used to shoot it off. And you can be the lucky new owner of both. It's a 45 caliber Remington and I shot my finger off. It's for sale if anyone wants to buy it. It looks like one of the guns from fucking Face Off.
Yep.
You know?
It looked old as hell too. It just looked like it's old and rusty.
It looked like it shot just his finger like off because it's defective. What'd you say, Karen? Just like him?
Yep.
Yeah, he is old and rusty. and he will turn on his owner and kill him. he said, I will soon put the finger that fell off in the poker tournament on eBay for sale. The eBay ad will read slightly used middle finger with 462 home runs could be used for stirring a straw for drinks. The 45 caliber Remington has a chrome mirror finish with the custom grips with crystals and gold plating in the grips. So he said maybe I will package the chrome the 45 caliber Remington and the finger both on sale in the package deal. Jose Canseco, what the fuck, man? Crazy ass life of a snitch. what else happened here? Dwight Howard. Did you know a doctor concluded that he abused his kid? Why isn't Silver kicking him out of the league like they did Peterson?
Different sport. It's not. Yeah. NBA got their shit together to a certain degree.
And you know what? A lot more people watch football than basketball. Mm-hmm. I think that make a difference too.
Well, he was cleared of child abuse in Florida, but now they know the doctor who examined his child determined the boy was hit with a belt buckle, struck with excessive force, and was the victim of abuse.
But I think the incident happened in a different state, not even Florida. Right?
Let's see. Howard was investigated in Florida for hitting 6-year-old Braylon with a belt. Howard admitted to authorities he hit the kids, but says he didn't know it was wrong because that's how he grew up. TMZ Sports has obtained documents of the Department of Children and Families. Summarizing the findings of a doctor who examined Braylon, it says Dr. Kessler noted Braylon to have a linear bruise and pattern abrasions consistent with the history given by Braylon for being struck with a belt numerous times by his father. The report goes on to say the injuries were consistent with Braylon being struck with a buckle end of the belt. Damn. The buckle end? With excessive force resulting in soft tissue injuries such as bruising and abrasions. The report indicates Dr. Kessler found the injuries lasted longer than 24 hours and were consistent with a medical diagnosis of physical abuse. The doctor recommended that Howard participate in parenting classes and use methods other than corporal punishment to discipline his sons. Our son, DCF, concluded the child abuse allegations were not substantiated, but in Florida, that means there is credible evidence of child abuse, but not enough to warrant action. What's curious is why the doctor's findings weren't enough. Howard's rep tells TMZ the Florida Department of Children and Families thoroughly examined all of the evidence and determined that there was insufficient evidence of child abuse. Adding the case has been closed in Florida. It appears this is the first time Howard's people have acknowledged some evidence of child abuse, although they insist there was no child abuse. Howard's people are lashing out at baby mama Royce Reed, saying it is appalling to see a mother use her son as a pawn against his father in an attempt to extract money. This is what is happening in this case.
He admitted to beating his son with the belt buckle.
Right.
The other thing is, too,
the doctor saw it, so Howard's just trying to exploit money out of him. And also, what money would she get for saying, you beat my kid?
Yep. Didn't the NFL with Adrian Peterson, the team set him down before the Goodell?
And yeah, Goodell? But even still, the Rockets didn't sit him down. The NBA didn't sit him down.
So that's what I was
going
to say. Houston needs to sit him down.
It doesn't even matter. Honestly, no one cares. Is
right.
My point. Like,
this is fake outrage, and that's the part that really makes me upset. Is for the fact that people are fake outrage. Now there are some people that really care and are really concerned, but from my perspective, there are a lot of people who are petty and jealous and angry that these athletes make all this money, especially the black ones, and they feel like anything to take them down by all means necessary. Now I understand everybody does not feel like that, but a large percentage do.
Yeah, Liz is saying also belt versus belt buckle is two different things. And I agree.
I agree too.
Like, you hit a kid with a fucking belt buckle, man. Like, that's a hard piece of metal that you're hitting a kid with. And it's not okay. You know? And it is funny how selective outrage works, because everybody's right. Like, it's fine. Meanwhile, Adrian Peterson can't get back in the NFL even after following all their rules. Let's see. I think we already talked about the RG3 thing. Is this thing, unless this has the audio attached to it, I'm about to skip this article. And I don't see a video. So, all right. Oh, wait. It is a video. All right. Let's see if it plays. See what happens here.
Coach, you had 2 weeks to prepare for today's game.
Oh, no. That's the coach. It's not the one I want to see. Son of a bitch. Stupid ass computer. Miami Dolphin got special treatment after domestic abuse arrest. Back in 2010, police arrested then Dolphins defensive end Philip Merling and charged him with aggravated domestic battery on a pregnant woman after he allegedly hit his then fiance Kristen Lennon in the head. That's right, Karen. In the head.
Just motivating her to be a better person.
To be a good mother to his kids.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know? So. Gotta beat you to act right.
So he hit her in the head. He didn't miss any training camp time, and the charges were dropped. The New York Times talked to Lennon to get more details. She says Merlin kept harassing her even up to this year. According to the sheriff's report, in the early morning of May 27, 2010, Lennon saw a used condom fall out of his jeans as he came home. Now, what the hell are you doing keeping the used condom in your jeans?
Not the clean one.
Yeah. Ugh. She threw some of his possessions out of the house, and Merlin pushed her onto the bed and started hitting her. Lennon eventually locked herself in the bathroom and called the police. The Times also looked at the treatment Merlin received after his arrest due to the close relationship between the police and the Dolphin security. Minutes after Mr. Merlin was taken into custody, Stuart Weinstein, the Dolphin's longtime security director, was working his contacts in the sheriff's office, trying to confirm the arrest and get information on Mr. Merlin's status. At one point, Mr. Weinstein asked the commander who worked side jobs for the Dolphins to notify him when Mr. Merlin's bond was posted. The commander said he would, according to an internal affairs investigation. Mr. Merlin was booked on charges of aggravated domestic battery on a pregnant woman. Almost all inmates are required to leave jail through the public front door and arrange their own transportation home, but Mr. Merlin was granted an unusual privilege. He was escorted out of a rear exit by a deputy evading the reporters. The commander, who was off duty and in uniform, drove Mr. Merlin in an unmarked car to the Dolphins training complex 20 minutes away. So this nigga got chauffeured to work from jail.
Wow.
After Mr. Merlin met with team officials, the commander drove him home to get his belongings, even though a judge had ordered Mr. Merlin to stay away and avoid any potential contact with Miss Lennon. So the cops took him back to where the home where the victim was.
Because nobody gives a fuck about domestic violence and beating women and kids.
I mean, domestic violence awareness month over with. What you expect to happen?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
You get a month. You get a month, Karen.
Sorry. Don't it fall in the same month as breast cancer? So they just, let's get all the women shit out the way to 1 month.
I mean, you get to share it, right? So you get a month. I don't know what you and other women are complaining about. Like,
oh, so this can't be an all year long battle? My bad.
Nope. That would be too much. That like now you asking for society to
my
make
bad.
Changes
way
in
too
the way
much.
Of things. No, that's doing too much.
I'm sorry.
As for Merlin's charges being dropped, Lennon says she was 8 months pregnant at the time. She could not travel from South Carolina to Florida to testify against Merlin. But she says Merlin continued to harass her multiple times since the 2010 arrest. A year ago, a judge in South Carolina issued a final order demanding that he pay tens of thousands of dollars. When Mr. Merlin arranged a meeting with Miss Lennon to give her a check, she ended up calling the police saying he punched her in the chest. Breast cancer awareness. The next day, she told a judge that he also crushed her cell phone. 3 weeks ago, a warrant was issued for his arrest over non-payment of child support.
He probably bought her a new phone. Like, he out with the old, in with the new.
Miss Lennon said that she still receives text messages from him. That she had changed her number many, even though she changed her number many times. One message in July read, "I hate you." Also in
July,
did
he put bitch on the end? I mean, that's the only way it's official.
Also in July, Miss Linda called the police saying Mr. Merlin had come to her home late at night and tried to break in the front door. The dents in the door are visible. She has since added an extra lock.
I feel like they need to be playing this Kanye West song, "The Blame Game."
Yeah, I mean,
may as well.
Seem like they need to be playing "What's Love Got to Do with It."
Not a goddamn thing in this census, apparently.
That's crazy, man. I mean, the Dolphins basically helped that man get away with that shit. In another epic Me and Justin Were Right moment for the show, did we already talk about this? Steve Nash isn't returning Byron Scott's phone calls?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so remember how we made it?
Byron Scott was like, yeah, you know, he let him do what he want to do. He just don't need to be a distraction to the team. That's why we told him to stay away. Something like that.
Yeah, I remember we made a joke about it.
Steve Nash is like, nah, this is real.
Yeah, his call is going to voicemail.
Like, we actually made real phone calls and shit. Like, real fake phone calls.
He must be listening to the show.
Apparently to this, both Coach Byron Scott and General Manager Mitch Kupchak said they hope Nash, whose Laker career has been beset and presumably ended by back injuries, will serve as a mentor and de facto shooter. A shooting coach for younger players. But Nash doesn't seem all that interested. In fact, he's not returning Scott's phone calls. If my coach would have me, Scott said, I definitely would have called him back. I'll try him again when I get some more free time tomorrow on Monday or something like that, Scott said. I know he's probably going through a tough time as far as trying to adjust to life without basketball at this particular point.
Word.
He's sending them shits to voicemail, dog. Hey, can you come teach the young kids how to, hello? Hello?
Hey, man, I bet you he'll return that call. They stop paying on their check, though.
That's all I bet he'll be. I bet not return a call. Hop a flight.
I bet you. And right. That's all they need to do. I don't know why Byron Scott doing all the back and forth. He just needs to call on Jenny. Let her know what he's trying to do.
Click them direct deposits off.
Contact Mitch. Let him know what he's trying to do. And then from that point, let HR take over. Them and the lawyers. You know what I mean?
Roger Goodell met with black female leaders about domestic violence in the NFL.
Did they give him all types of sass and neck rolls?
No, he probably got cussed out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, your pasty ass need to be doing.
Not pasty.
Mm-hmm. Probably got red the tea several times.
Probably got the tea poured on him.
Well, first thing you need to do, Mr. Commissioner, is have several seats. Mm-hmm, Betty, tell him a whole row of seats. I'm telling them, Melanie. But yeah, he met with them. And it's all because of that one question during that press conference that we talked about, Justin. Mm-hmm. Remember when it was like, oh, that woman asked that question about being a black woman and why ain't no black people there? And he went and found him some black women.
Sure did. All the black women's.
Yeah. Every single one.
They got all the NBA, everyone like, he could touch. We need some of the black women back.
Yeah.
But he's still doing it wrong, man.
Still.
He's still doing it wrong.
He can't help it. He really can't get right, man. Like, you know, like this week, Adrian Peterson was basically supposed, like, he got sentenced. He had his
trial.
Yep. Then he had his hearing with the NFL. And they basically lied to him. They was like, I know you worked and did everything we told you to do. And I know we said that you could come back right away, but you're suspended for the rest of the season.
They hit him with that. Look, they got Ray Rice for the spousal abuse, and they got Adrian Peterson as the martyr for child abuse.
And maybe this is just me being an asshole.
And you have Adrian Peterson on him.
Yeah, but I'm still holding on to him. I don't care. Unless they be like, you are suspended indefinitely from everything ever, then. But maybe I'm an asshole. I want somebody to fucking sue them for this bullshit. I want somebody to sue them for this.
Well, the NFLPA probably will sue them, you know.
Because this is some bullshit.
Yeah, it's just, they keep changing the rules.
Right.
And it's clearly about PR. And
correct.
It's not, it's just about making people feel better. And the thing is, with certain crimes, people have no limit on the punishment you can do. So you hit a kid or you hit a woman. There's a lot of people out there that just, they have like a certain like amount of like anger about it that it's like they'll never be able to, like, if he would have said, I'm banning Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson for life, the same people that are okay with him being banned for a season will be okay with that too.
Right. But like, and I think that the thing that pissed me off is that y'all are working with motherfuckers that have been charged of crimes like this, but you just don't know. You don't know. And if you find out, what are you going to do? Protest at their desk? Put a sign up?
Yeah.
Keep their chair all the time? Like, that's unrealistic.
And also, like, there's other players in the league that have done shit, but people just decided that shit is not as bad.
Right, and a lot of times it depends on who you are. That's the problem that I have. If this outrage was equal across the board, no matter the player or the race of the player, I would not have a problem. But I think a lot of it is racially based. Mm-hmm. And that's where my problem comes in.
Yeah, they basically suspended him for the rest of the season, and they wrote a letter. Commissioner Goodell basically said that he did it because, hey, you hit a kid and the kid isn't like hitting an adult. It's worse. Second, you use a switch to do it, which might as well be a damn sword, you know. It's a weapon. And third, you show no meaningful remorse, which is funny because I feel like he did show remorse, but it was after, but not immediately. And so Goodell used quotes from when he was texting, which was like immediately, and said, oh, when you text your girlfriend that you didn't do anything really bad to your kid, that means you didn't have any remorse. And I'm like, but wouldn't meaningful remorse happen after he's probably been convicted and
Right.
Admitted to whatever his penalty is.
And my thing is, who are you to decide this? The problem that I have with everybody going out and wanting to be the law is you're not the motherfucking law. You are not the law. The public opinion is not the law.
Well, not just that. They just did this whole thing about how Goodell's no longer going to be the sole arbiter of justice in the NFL. I don't see any difference between this and anything else he's done.
I thought that was after the panel review in like January or February when they're going to meet again.
Yeah, I think so too. But I mean, if it's a wrong system, I feel like they would have something in place already.
Man, they're not going to change it because people still watching the games.
Not just that, people like this.
Yes, yep. And they don't
they
care.
They like this. They like to see these dudes get quote unquote punished.
Right.
For this kind of shit.
Yep. Even a popular dude like Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They both running backs, him and Ray Rice. One is loved by the public for continuously winning, breaking, running records, things like that. But at the end of the day, it's people jealous of millionaires that play a sport that they wish they could play and get paid millions.
Exactly.
That and like I said, me, a lot, not for everybody, but a lot of it is race-based because they're black. You let a white quarterback get charged with this crime. I want to see the same outrage. I want to see the same uproar. I want to see the same demanding. I want to see, you know, let's say somebody get convicted in playoff time or somebody fuck up the shit come out the week of the Super Bowl. I want to see the same outrage. And then I'll be like, okay, y'all equal. But if somebody gets charged with something like that and I don't see the same outrage, I would go, okay, screw, fuck all y'all motherfuckers, you just angry because they're black.
You'll only see that outrage during the summer. If it happens now, once the game starts, they'll forget about it because of the game, you know what I mean? But if there's no games being played, then they'll show more outrage.
Yeah, okay. And I'm still like, y'all are, I guess for me, I feel like this, if you're going to be like that, be like it across the board, and most people are not. Most people have bias, and they kind of pick and choose who they want to be angry at and when they want to be angry and why. And that's the problem that I have with the whole system and how they do their punishment.
It's fans of 31 other teams that said, fuck Adrian Peterson, keep his nigga ass out the league. My team has a chance of beating him now.
Yeah, because it's football over everything.
I don't even think it's that, though. Like, I really don't even think people are looking at it from a competitive standpoint. Mm-mm. And, like, this will help my team be better. They don't, like, they've chosen to be team, not those niggers.
Right. And we don't care who you play for.
Yeah, like, there's Viking fans that are like, I don't want this dude playing for my team anymore because I finally got the moral high ground on him. And that's what matters to them.
I'm okay with him playing. He went to court for it. He got his consequence.
I'm okay with it too. Right. And it's not about fantasy football. It's not about any. It's just, it seems wrong to have a system that you said is in place where we're going to suspend you a certain amount of games and do blah, 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 and not to use it when it's time for you to use it.
That's why he released the photos of him and his black women's. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, I'm gonna do this, but now look at my other hand with the black women's, you know what I mean? It's like, it's distraction and people are okay with it because it was a game last night.
Well, you know what's funny too is Peterson will have, if he misses the rest of the season, he'll have no more guaranteed money owed to him from the Vikings, which essentially will make him basically a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been saying, hey, a fresh start might be better for me.
Correct.
Well, he has wanted to leave Minnesota.
Right.
For a while. But can he go somewhere and get top dollar still? If I was Washington, I would want them to pay him. But he though?
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, he can because fans have short-term memories and everybody's outraged now. But like you said, when the football season comes, it's about winning and shit like that. People go, fuck it. You know, people have killed people and people have got over it quicker than they got over this.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if fucking if I'm DeMarco Murray, I'd be watching my back.
He did say he liked Dallas, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But after that shit, his owner did with Big Hands that slapped his mama. What's his name?
Dez Bryant.
Yeah, Dez Bryant. Like, I don't know that I could go play for Dallas unless he's trying to give me top dollar.
Yeah, I think he will give you top dollar. He's probably going to give Dez top dollar, too.
He act like he's trying to shortchange him.
Nah, he's going to pay him. He's going to pay him. Jerry Jones never had a problem paying people, whether it was strippers that he molested or... but yeah.
Everybody getting some of his money. But yeah, I think it's time for him to move, too. Honestly, I wouldn't want to go back. Would you?
So can the new slogan be not with Jose Canseco middle finger? are you actually mean it?
Karen, to answer your question, yeah, I wouldn't want to go back, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's more of a system-wide problem. It's not just...
I mean, that's true, but still, I wouldn't want to go back.
It's not just a Minnesota problem.
He need to go to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. If I'm an NFL player... And I'm not too sure about the crew I hang out with or the decisions I make. I go to San Francisco. I'm playing either way, though.
San Fran and Oakland. Mm-hmm. Did y'all see the black dude that took the football from the Saints fan?
I was okay with it.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
I loved it.
Like, the Bengals scored and threw a football to a girl in a Bengals jersey. Mm-hmm. And this old black man came in there and yanked that ball out of her motherfucking hands.
You know why? Because he was in his motherfucking seat, and she came down from wherever she came from to try to get down low on the good seats where he was at. But she was standing in the aisle, like, no, go back to your seat. If they throw a ball up to the cheap seats, then you can get a football.
She thought that this nigga was going to give it back to her. That's the best part. Well, she was begging him for the ball, and he Cuban beat her like, bitch, if you don't go get your seat again,
yo,
I'm a season ticket holder, and I got me a football.
Yeah,
you snooze, you lose.
I love it. Like, don't come down to my seats and try to take a football. Like, no, he probably tired. He probably hate that shit. Every game, people probably coming down there.
Right, standing in front of them.
Yep, snatching footballs.
LeGarrette Blount, let's talk about him.
Smoke him if you got him. As we go talk about that
terrible,
good chronic.
Terrible fantasy football on a player.
Meth and red. Baby, Le'Veon Bell rushed 33 times for 204 yards and a touchdown last night.
Get him. Kill him.
It's very exciting for everyone except the guy who is supposed to be the other half of their running back tandem. LeGarrette Blount didn't touch the ball once in their 27-24 comeback win in Tennessee.
Nope.
And frustrated with the lack of action, reportedly left the field with the game while the game was still being played.
You mad?
Fuck it, I'm out.
While the game was played. So you talking about like maybe he was hurt, right? End of the fourth, he got hurt standing on the sideline, leg cramp, nope. Something like that.
What if Le'Veon Bell twists his ankle? And they need you for one play. Your ass already in the house, already inside in some Tims. He went to the locker room dressed and attempted to leave the stadium before being called back by defensive assistant coach Joey Porter.
Not even the offensive running back coach?
No. Defensive assistant Joey Porter. Mm. Probably the strength and
conditioning. I bet somebody was like, hey, I thought he went to the bathroom, dog. He ain't been back yet.
Because normally you send the running back coach after the running backs.
Mm-hmm. Hey, if you know anything about Joey Porter.
I know who Joey Porter is.
You bring your ass back too.
Yeah. So, according to reports, Blount waited for the game's final whistle, then exited the stadium while some of his teammates were still coming out the field.
He was standing by the door. Joe was like, I don't give a fuck what you do. But if you leave the stadium, we're going to have problems.
Right. It's going to be me and you, son. Me and you after this game.
So they cut him.
Do you blame him? The nigga left his job. The nigga was like, fuck it. I'm off the clock. They was like, word. All right.
I don't blame him.
That's like no call, no show.
But how are you jealous of your homeboy that you out here committing crimes with? Y'all sharing women on the way to the flight to the games. Y'all smoking good, drinking good. Why are you mad? You know what I mean? Like, you can't, and we talked about this briefly. You can't be cool. You can't be in between. Like, you either cool with the dude that's your competition or y'all hate each other.
Yeah. And like, he's having a game of his life and your ass in the locker room mad.
I want some touches.
But, the Patriots picked him up because they love a fucking sale.
Patriot way.
Oh yeah.
I thought they said they got it wrong with Heyron
They've gotten it wrong several times. They don't give a fuck. Yeah. Aaron Hernandez, you know, that's a good thing about a sale.
Yeah.
Hey.
But they tried to make it seem like that's not what they normally do.
Yeah, the thing about a sale, if it's cheap, you guys would, you ain't pay that much for it, so who gives a fuck? You can throw it in the trash can and keep on going.
He played for them once before, didn't he? Isn't that where he came from before he went to Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Okay. So they know what they're getting.
And Le'Veon Bell spoke out. He said he has spoken with friend LeGarrette Blount, but like the Steelers themselves, he is moving forward after the team cut ties with the veteran.
I can't believe he actually talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he really was mad because Bell was out there shining. What we got to talk about?
He says it was surprising, but because I didn't see that coming, said Bell, who rushed for 204 yards on 33 carries, both career highs. There's some things you can't do. He pushed those buttons, and that's what happens. So push those buttons. Sounds like Blount was an asshole, and everybody figured it out, and then he's done.
So don't they still have court and stuff to deal with?
What?
Don't they have court and stuff to deal with from when they got pulled over?
They codees.
So you got to know Blount blaming everything on Bell.
Mm-hmm.
You got to, like, Bell, I hope Bell realizes it. You got to know.
I wouldn't trust him. Yeah. I wouldn't trust him.
You got to know this now. Oh, you think he was really mad because Bell getting a better deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he really mad about. That court case and the lawyer was like, man, Bell getting a better deal. They trying to blame it all on you. And they saying it was your marijuana. The girl cooperating on Bell's side of the story.
I don't even see what he mad. He should have left the game last year or year before last, because he ain't been doing shit for a very long time. But this is the game you're like, fuck it.
Well, he got 4 touchdowns for the Patriots in the playoffs last year, but nothing since then.
Right.
Sean Smith, who plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, apparently went on Twitter. He's a former NFL defensive lineman who played 5 different teams in an 8-year career that ended in 2012. Okay, so he's not a current player. He was going off on people on Twitter for the past 2 hours. He began half combatively and half playfully interacting with the usual mess of questions, insults, and trolls all famous and semi-famous people will have in their mentions, telling them how happy he was, how much money he made, and how he could say anything he wanted because he isn't in the NFL anymore. Perhaps predictably, that eventually morphed to a bunch of people being offered to each other. Someone says, I guarantee one of them is sucking my dick when they 18. So talking about Sean Smith's kids.
Oh.
Sean Smith replied, is that supposed to make me mad? Hope your sons don't turn out like Magic Johnson's son.
Why you gotta bring Magic into this?
Why you
man?
Gotta talk about his gay son, man? What, act Magic like that's son a bad
ever,
thing.
Yeah, what did he ever do to you? He just out here living his life.
Another one was playing, took a picture with his son while his son was standing up, you know, in front of him, and the father took the picture of the son like hanging out by his, you know, by his feet. And Sean Smith put child services on. I'm going to call child services on you letting Junior play with that pecker. Dude said, don't mean you ain't gay. Also, you're boring. So Sean responded, ha ha, ask your girl if she can take any more facials.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Yeah, who made? He woke up on the wrong side of the bed that morning, didn't
he? A person with a baby as an avatar replied, LOL, you fat and you suck. And he replied, your girl sucks a good one. Another one, Gas Money says, looking like a deep fried Hershey Kiss in this motherfucker. Sean Smith said, hey, you look like a person with no green card. Are you legal? Let's see your papers. He's edgy.
Real edgy.
Hey, he got a lot on his mind he wanted to shut on.
He's the Lance of the damn football. your mom eats fatbacks, didn't know that.
Now you know that's going too far right there.
Oh, you talking about fat back like fat people back or fat back like fat back meat?
You talking about
fat
his back mama. Meat. But the fact you talking about this man mama.
Yeah, Sean Smith talked about, said somebody's mama do that.
He went too far right
somebody
there.
Somebody else said, looking like
a, too far.
Yeah, he replied back, young because your girl like dark skin. Another one took a, He posted a picture of somebody else's girlfriend and said, tell her to get her weed fixed.
Oh. And her hair don't look that bad. What's happening here? What that woman do to anybody?
She just minding her business. Right. He out here screenshotting Twitter AVs. Random AVs.
Yeah, he lost his shit.
That's why he's not in the NFL anymore.
Yeah. But I just thought that was funny. I hope you don't end up like Magic Johnson's son. He didn't look up his name.
Right. Why waste the time? If you're homophobic, why waste time learning names?
Yeah, take the 5 minutes to investigate, man. Alabama student working for ESPNU tweets Jameis Winston joke about Florida State shooting. There was a shooting at Florida State campus. A man came on and shot a woman. I think he killed himself or something. But she posted out, reported gunman on FSU campus. Maybe he's heading for Jameis. When people going to understand that these corporate accounts, you can't play around like this?
Nope.
Yeah, it's not even funny.
It's not funny. Like, it's just stupid. Also, a couple of real people died.
Yep. That's sad, actually.
Yeah, so, like, how the fuck are you? Anyway. LeBron.
Good luck with life.
LeBron James moved back to Cleveland, took his mom with him. And guess who else came? Lambo. Lambo is the boyfriend of LeBron James' mom. He's 29.
Oh. LeBron over there.
I thought he was out the picture. He's been around for a while.
I'm sorry. LeBron is 29.
Oh, okay.
The guy's 32.
Oh, yeah. Close in age, but okay.
He hit him with that Black Jesus. Now, I normally fuck on the first date.
Okay. But I would never disrespect your mama like that.
LeBron,
now come on up to my apartment later. I got some chores for you to do.
At the practice.
Damn. And apparently he went and bought him some warmer clothes too. You know, because it's cold up there.
Yeah, got some jackets cold on. Up there.
It's cold out here in the sea.
He refers to Gloria James as wifey on Instagram.
Oh, shit.
Nigga, yeah, what was that feel like? You 3 years older than me.
And like Eminem with 8 Mile.
I'm also mad he already got the Cleveland Cavs shoes. You got rid of your heat shit that fast, Lambo?
Hey, man, you go where the money at, and the money moved to Cleveland, you go to Cleveland.
That's true, I guess.
God damn, he is living a life, man.
Living a life.
Like, how often does he really disrespect LeBron, or does he sit around and play Xbox with him?
Probably both.
Come fix me something to drink, boy.
Well, I whooped your ass in this game already. Now go on and get out of here.
get your stepdad something to drink there, boy. He got that old school.
Daddy, call him Youngblood and shit.
Not Youngblood.
LeBron be coming in from a fucking Cavs win. Over this heat and shit, and then he sit down and be like, now how was school today, boy?
Hey, texting him like, bring some Chinese home with you. Yeah. Don't forget the chicken wings.
You need lunch money before you go to work?
Get some extra soy sauce. I got you when you get here.
Oh my God.
Hey man. Hey, it's nowhere in the world I could concentrate on basketball.
I can't have a 32-year-old daddy.
And his name is Lambo. I can't take you serious if your name Lambo.
Yeah, what you want me to get you for Christmas, young man? Like, come on, man.
I can buy anything I want, nothing.
Yeah. Mama got to have a life, too. How many times she say that?
Mama do got to have a life, too, man.
How many times she say that,
now, she probably got a fucking t-shirt with that on the front. Probably had that shit since she was fucking that other dude that was on his team.
Hey, man, you know what?
Delonte West.
Hey, and I did have all types of jokes for LeBron and, you know, and Wiggins and making that poor choice, but... When you got a stepdad, future stepdad named Lambo, and mama got to have a life too, man, this long distance hug to you, LeBron.
Yeah, dog.
Long distance hug to you, man.
You know who else needs your long distance hugs? The 76ers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all heard this story. Let me see if I can play it.
Sports Mad Dash, I'm Jenna Corrado. It's hard enough being a Philadelphia 76ers fan right now with everyone wondering if your team is so bad that Kentucky could beat it. But now it turns out that the team is so bad, Papa John's had to change a pizza promotion it started at the beginning of the season. You see, for every 76ers win, Papa John's would offer 50% off on fan orders. Well, 11 games into the season, they haven't won a single game. However, the Sixers have scored 90 points or more in 5 of those 11 games, so the promotion has changed to 50% off if the Sixers score 90 points, even in a loss. There's nothing like a slice of desperation. Remember yesterday when we...
Damn, y'all suck.
So what happens when they can't get past 80 points a game?
Right, y'all gonna switch, lower the bar again?
Right, cause they want them sales, cause you know, the Papa John's pizza is probably, they charge y'all like $20, probably like $5 pizza, so they like, fuck it, we still won't get them sales.
They should change it to, if you actually go to a game.
Right. That's the only way you can get this, you can get 50% off.
Or if you actually watch the game on TV. and use the promo code that they announced during the game. Then, you know, you can get that half off.
That's about the only way they're going to be consistent with it.
Oh, man.
Because people are minimum record the game.
Hey, dog, by the end of the year, it's going to be like, if they hit 5 free throws, if they can hit the side of the backboard, you get a free pizza.
All the players alive at the end of the game.
If all the players show up today... You get a free pizza.
If the starting 5 is there, you get a free pizza.
Just bring your tickets to Domino's, Papa John's. We'll give you the free pizza.
Shit, take them to Domino's. Yeah. We'll honor their order.
Right. Adam Silver is under fire because his 24-game suspension of Jeffrey Taylor, that everybody thought, you know, sounded right in the public eye, The NBAPA is like, nah, dog. You're not just going to be doing Commissioner Goodell moves.
Right, because our league ain't the same.
Like, we need you to come up with a precedent.
Right.
Because he said, oh, I would just go by each case by itself. So it's up to you, just like Goodell. And he shouldn't be falling for this trap either.
Yep. Right.
Like, this is how you end up getting compromised 5 years from now. And we find out that you've been letting... Chris Bosh be a serial killer or some shit.
Right. And if I was a commissioner, I would be like, y'all know what? I'm going to sit down with the board of the players. We going to set up rules and regulations. We're going to have a separate group that makes these decisions. That way, when people get angry, they ain't get mad at that group. They can't get mad at me because I didn't come up with the decision.
He basically going to lose over a fourth of his salary, which here's the thing. I never feel bad for these guys because, like, keep your hands off your woman, right?
Right.
Yep.
But the punishments are so fucking random and arbitrary that I end up being, like, sounding like I'm defending these assholes when I'm really not defending them. I'm just going, if you really want a system, create a system. Don't create a arbitrary, like, we just do what we feel like this time, depending on how mad people get.
Yeah, nope. It's the process you do. You won't correct it, not necessarily for that particular player.
Right. What's wrong with setting rules and regulations? Hey, if you beat a woman, you get suspended this many games. You know, you use a weapon, it's this many games. You beat a child, it's this many games.
You don't even have to come into it and say, like, a specific number of games, right? You could just write out a policy that goes by tiers. Like,
okay,
tier 1 is this type of offense. Tier 2 is that type of offense. Tier 3 is that type of fit. And then you can create like a range.
Yep.
Like.
Okay, that makes sense.
That way you can still keep some of the individual things. And then you have like a tribunal or something.
He doesn't have to be a part of this process.
Exactly.
No.
And you have them vote on the discipline of it. And that way you can absolve yourself of having to deal with each situation in your own personal opinion and how you feel about it. Because that leads to certain biases that I'm not comfortable with. And that's what I really want to relay to so many people. I'm not comfortable with certain biases, you know, because there's certain people that think when Kurt Busch puts his hands on his woman, the NASCAR driver.
Right.
They think that not only is it not something he should get in trouble for, but he should also be allowed to race.
Right. When whatchamacallit hit and killed somebody live on national television in front of everybody and was not punished at all, that's cool. He should be able to race the next day. He didn't race by choice, but this is one of them things where, it, like you said, it's a bias. You know, you have people who are racist that come out the woodworks. You have people that are jealous of people with money that come out the woodwork. It's biases all around the place. Just have a board. And I do agree that you do need to have tiers so that you kind of keep the flexibility of, you know, the worse it is, you could kind of go up or down. But as a commissioner, I would not want to be in the punishment business because I'm not the law.
He thought Jeffries did some abuse. Wait till this, the New Players Association, President, wait till she get a hold of his ass. She about to abuse his ass in his legal system because she bought her business.
She about to get her Cosby on.
She about to hurt his ass.
Well, don't worry about it, man. The NFL did send domestic violence videos to school, so it should be fine.
What's that pose us all?
They sent a 17-minute video Wednesday to high school.
17 minutes? Mm-hmm. I don't got time for that.
And college coaches. First of all, why can't y'all just put it on YouTube or something? You got to send the video to everybody that's going to look at it?
Yep, just send the link. Why not send it to your players?
It just teaches kids how to domestically abuse their women and shit.
Mm-hmm. What not to do, what we looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, punch it with a towel. That way you don't leave a bruise.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, all psychological. It's all psychological now, all mental.
Let's look at this video. This Chicago sports radio show they were doing a show and they had an epic moment. We played some radio shows in the past. Quigs and Finch are back.
For now we are, yes. It is I guess it's 87-7 the game. GameChicago.com. So, yeah, this is a pretty crappy way to find out that you're out of work, basically.
This is why you don't have Twitter on
at
your job.
Well, no, actually, I'm not going to blame Twitter. I'm going to blame our bosses for not doing this the respectful way. I mean, it's pretty crappy to find out on Twitter, especially while you're on the air, that the station's folding. I would think that somebody would have at least some respect for their employees and let them know, just give them a heads up that there's something going on. But nope, didn't happen. So Robert Feeder is the one who breaks it to us that we're done. I'll just read from Feeder because this is all we know. I haven't been told anything until I saw it come across Twitter when you saw it come across Twitter. So here it is, Robert Feeder. Game over. 9 months after the bosses of WGN AM 720 launched Chicago's first FM sports talk station, they're throwing in the towel on the ambitious but unprofitable venture. Tribune Media will cease programming on WGWGLP 87.7, known as The Game, at the end of the year, insiders say Thursday. Also out, effective immediately, are former WGN personalities Jonathan Brandmeier and Gary Meyer, sources said. Brandmeier's morning show aired on The Game 87.7 and the online streaming site WGN.fm. Meyer's afternoon show aired only on WGN.fm. David Kaplan and David Haw, whose midday show on The Game is simulcast on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, are expected to continue on the cable sports network after the radio operation ceases. But few of the station's other sports talk hosts are expected
They're literally reading the press conference.
Wow.
Press release, yeah. Like, they just found out on Twitter, and then they went to commercial, came back, was like, so, welcome back to WGN. We calling it that? What are we calling it? W Sports Fans?
I'd have been mad, too. And daylight effective immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why would you want them to find out that way, knowing they're on the air, knowing that people are listening? And they calm and cool. A lot of people are like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck your mama. Fuck everything about this goddamn place. Fuck it. I ain't got no motherfucking job. Anybody hiring out there?
And you know, like, they find the FCC finds the station, not you.
Right.
So I'd be like, yeah, let's talk about those dick licking Chicago Bulls. Look like the score was, the 75 rape tits to 64 pussy lick.
And, right. And they probably left other jobs to work there and do this station. You know what I'm saying? Like to be on the pilot station that, you know, you got on the FM. like this, and they left jobs that they probably had, you know, time invested in other things.
And you probably don't have a problem with it folding because, you know, radio stations fold all the time. It's the unprofessionalism of your bosses. Your boss should have told you before you were on air, hey, we know y'all about to go on air, but this is your last show. I mean, just prepare you mentally other than you looking at a goddamn tweet.
So it was snowing so bad that the Niagara girls basketball team, a women's basketball team, got stranded on a bus for 26 hours.
Oh.
You hop off of that bus, y'all either the best friends of all time or y'all mortal enemies. That's a long ass time to be on a bus with one person.
And that's a group of people.
Yeah. Trying to tweet through. You know your iPhone stopped working 3 hours in.
What? Yep. No, that motherfucker did.
Shit.
And now you know you got great chargers.
You probably tried to watch Netflix for a little bit.
They had people sleeping at the top of the bus where you put your luggage and shit. I'll put that picture in the chat. But, you know, you got people sleeping in the overhead storage compartments just so they can stretch out. 26 hours. I wonder when they ran out of gas. Like, I know they were so cold.
Either that or you, like, turn the motherfucker off because you can't go nowhere. Like, I've had family from Clarksville, Tennessee, come here, and we was worried about them. Kind of find out they was like stuck in snow for 10 hours. It was just so much snow, and traffic was so bad. Traffic just stopped. Like people had to come knock on their doors to wake them up because everybody had went to sleep.
That bus stank.
You know it
that
do.
That bus was raw, and you can't even open up the windows because it's fucking cold.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible, man.
I feel bad for them. Long distance hug to y'all too.
Yeah. Right.
Niagara College.
Don't go there. Mm-hmm. No disrespect, but shit.
LeBron James wants his playing time reduced, just like he did this first week in first year in Miami.
Mm-hmm. Paul Silas was sitting like, I got fired for this. You fired me because I tried to do the exact same thing.
Let me guess, you want to post up now too? You son of a bitch.
Maybe if Paul Silas hadn't pushed him and put hands on him, he might still have a job. I don't imagine any conversation going well where you telling him something and he's saying no and you arguing and he don't push you. Because he just seemed like an old angry black dude that's going to push you when he don't get his way.
They have 3 of the top 5 minutes players in the NBA right now.
That got to wear your ass out.
Should have went to San Antonio. Hmm? Should have went to San Antonio.
Yep. He didn't have to do much there. That was my plan. That's what I would have did if I was him.
Yep. Just visit Cleveland during the summer. Or Akron, whoever.
Let's see what else we got here.
But does that new coach, will he understand that? Because I feel like the new coach is, he played that European ball and they believe in maximizing minutes.
You know what, man? We'll figure it out. It's way too fucking early to be even evaluating that coach, honestly. Like, everything with the Cavs right now is too early. And it's too much panic, you know? And honestly, even the minutes per game shit might even out as they get further along in the year and they realize they don't need them, you know? They're still trying to figure shit out. They can't even figure out if they want Deion Waiters in the game in the fourth quarter or not. They let a scrub play the fourth quarter the other day just because it wasn't Deion Waiters.
He got to go, man. You know he wanted out on that trade.
Yeah. Jason Whitlock hired a writer for his Black Grantland, quote unquote, project with ESPN. And it's it's a white dude.
Yeah, because none of the black people wanted to work with him.
Grantland basically got 2 white writers right now, and that's it.
Do you blame them? Because they're like, shit that I want to write about, you don't write about.
That's like working for Rush Limbaugh. Yeah. Rod going to start interning for Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, okay.
Who do you think already looks up to you enough to actually want to write for you? It's not black people.
Oh, no.
We don't look up to Jason Whitlock.
Yeah, he has a big disconnect. And he done lied to somebody and told them that he got this influence that he don't have.
Yeah, so
I think they know he doesn't have it, but they don't care.
No, they believe him. Like, the people that he's talking to, his bosses, he's told them that probably, I believe he went and told them, hey, I can get more black writers, yada, 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 when in reality, he doesn't have that. But they don't know. They don't know his relationship with the black community. And why would they care?
Mm-hmm.
I think they know. I don't think they care, but I think they know.
I don't.
Because they want other people that think like him, and he's probably told them it's a process and it's going to take a while.
No, and I guess for me, the reason why I don't, all jokes aside, they white. They don't really give a fuck about what the black community is talking about and shit like that. All they know is they want more eyes and more influence, and they don't care how it gets done. And if you come to them and say, hey, I could put more diversity here, they're like, sure, get it done.
Why don't get Don Lemon to write for him?
Who knows? He might try.
Right.
Cam Newton's Twitter got hacked, and then it got suspended. He responded to Richard Sherman, overrated, when he was hacked.
Nice.
I want to get released at Panthers.
Oh, whoever hacked his account, it's good stuff.
That's the best one.
Cam Newton, little brother doing this?
Right, his cousin?
He got a little brother. It's probably his little brother.
Yeah. But it's I want at King Crab 15. I want you on my team. I want to get signed to a good team.
Does this count as being hacked? Like if I let Rod tweet from my phone and I can be like I was hacked? Does that count?
I think it does count, and I think some people have tried to make it count.
I think it does count because it ain't you putting it out there.
Well, he lucky he didn't really say anything too bad. You know, could have been talking about, you know, eating ass and all this shit.
I think it's that little white kid from the commercials talking about he got nicks.
Stretching in the background.
Yes.
The Bengals deny allegations that they were involved in a player's domestic violence.
What?
Mm-hmm. They're saying in a report that the Bengals, Marvin Lewis, coach, and other members of the organization pressured the wife of former player to call them before the police during the alleged incidents of domestic abuse.
Oh, I think we read this story, didn't we?
The one about Mercedes Sands, ex-wife of Robert Sands.
Yeah, I think we did read this story.
Oh, we already read this?
Not this particular one, but about her allegations. Yeah. But I don't think the Bengals had responded.
Yeah,
yet.
They're saying they completely deny it. So
I mean, they are. They
yeah.
What team is going to be like? Yeah, nah, we tried to cover it up.
Well, you know, it's funny because you put yourself in a hole because you can kind of be like, well, things used to be different and we fucked up, or you then you know hope that they don't come at you too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can work with, you know,
this bitch lying. She's lying. She's trying to bring down the organization because she wants some NFL dick. She's lying.
Yeah, she's a liar. I mean, let's be honest. She's a woman, and that makes her a liar.
Mm-hmm.
So she got one. Of those,
Lord,
got one of those lying ass vaginas. Because that's what they do: lie on their back, open up that vagina. Next thing you know, you believe in them.
Oh yep. Lord,
that's how they trick you with their magical vagina powers.
Then you got to go to Mora to find out if it's yours or not.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they trying to avoid, that negative press, man. He like, but here's the thing. You went on record and said you had nothing to do with it. So if they find any link, any time that you guys actually did, oh, somebody getting fired.
Of course.
So why they got Marvin Lewis head is the, head of this.
Right.
Not the GM, not the owner, nobody else, not even the player.
Well, he's the one who blasted the accusations raised in a recent report that contend that he and other members of the organization pressured the wife of a former player to call them before the police during alleged incidents of domestic assault that involved her husband. Because they want to get to the story first and wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very see-through. They're very Cosby about this. Hey, guys. did you know it's the anniversary of the Malice at the Palace?
Mm-mm.
Last Wednesday, 10 years ago.
Damn, it's been that long. Seemed like just yesterday. Ron Artest and Steve Jackson's was whooping ass and Jermaine O'Neal was out there with them one-hitter quitters.
I thought we could all have a little fun and try to watch some of it.
Damn, that made me like Jermaine O'Neal.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that it will play.
Good balance scoring. Artest with 24, O'Neal had 20, Crozier 15, Tinsley 13.
Now the game was
kind
of
low. It sounded kind of low, right?
Well, that's because your headphones.
Oh, okay.
Down.
That's cool.
Volume on them shit, man.
oh, I was thinking for the fans, but you don't got to turn my headphones up.
I mean, let me see if it's low for the fans. Hold on. Are they saying it's low in the chat?
And Jackson with 12, all five starters in double figures. The Pacers are playing a very intelligent game tonight. And Wallace is fouled, and Wallace.
You're just talking about how old they feel.
Yeah, I don't see anybody in my chat saying that it's too low or anything. I'll move it up a little bit.
Liz, but you're not old.
But yeah, let's go back. All right, so it's a blowout. It's like 82-97 or whatever. Like the game is fucking over. There's only 54 seconds left.
You're 15, Tinsley 13, and Jackson with 12. All five starters in double figures. The Patriots have played a very intelligent game tonight.
So,
intelligent Ron Artest, game, huh?
Huh?
I said he just said the Pacers played an intelligent game tonight.
Mm-hmm. And Ron Artest basically feels like he owes Ben Wallace a foul from the playoffs last year. So he's getting his today. Ben Wallace is like, oh, you want to get it? I got more where that came from.
And Wallace did.
And he went and pushed Ron Artest straight to the grill.
He pushed him from the baseline all the way out to the three-point line.
Yes, yes. And Ron was backpedaling part of the way because he didn't want none of that either.
He was like, somebody hold me back. Finally.
All right.
This has potential to be serious if they don't get between. Wallace upset. Players trying to hold each other off. Steven Jackson or Rasheed Wallace.
Pause it, Ron.
Trying to be peacemakers, not Jackson yelling.
Now, mind you, Ron, big strong Ron Artest is letting one of the smallest referees hold him back.
Mm-hmm. That's called a basketball fight. Well, you don't want none.
The smallest referee.
Basketball dudes are not fighters.
Yeah, that ref is like coming up to his like a little bit below his shoulder, like at his waistline. And he's like, okay, cool. You hold me back.
Mm-hmm.
Wallace pushed through three NBA players.
Right, because I know one thing. I've been with Anthony. Man, I'm not tall, and I think I come up to his like motherfucking waistline, standing on flat 2 foot. So, like, these niggas tall. They really, really, really tall.
Now, how the hell did Ben end up way the fuck over here? When the fight is right here. Like, he, like, Ben don't really want to fight either.
Steven got his hands balled up.
So Ron Artest goes and lays on the fucking scorer's table. Like he's about to get a massage.
Okay. Rasheed Wallace did an excellent job trying to keep everybody away.
That's right. Rasheed Wallace was the peacemaker.
The level
not,
header.
Not Rasheed.
Ball don't lie.
Rasheed.
Now, in my opinion, I think Ron Artest went late on the scores table to gloat. Like, aha, you're going to get kicked out the game and fined. I didn't retaliate. Now I'm laying on the bench at y'all shit.
You out of control.
Mm-hmm. Look how calm I am, America.
Dennis Rodman tactics 101.
Yep.
And then Ben Wallace came over.
Steven Jackson looked so crazy with them dreads.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
An ugly way for this one to wind down. Totally uncalled for. I want to see the foul again because it appeared Wallace was past him and Artest shoved him. And that's what Wallace took exception to, but you still can't react that way. You've got to let it go. That's not
man, like a regular that foul. Bad.
Say that again.
Go ahead, Karen.
No, you said it looked like a regular foul. I was like, yeah. It didn't look that bad.
Yeah, it did look like a regular NBA foul.
Yeah. Ben clearly took exception to what was a hard foul, but I didn't think it was dirty.
It wasn't. He didn't hit him in the head. Mm-hmm. He hit part of the upper arm between the elbow and shoulder, and part of his back.
Yep.
Didn't pull him down.
Yeah. Didn't push him. He didn't. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff he could have done So it didn't even make sense to try to like react this way, in my opinion.
Right. It's not like he was like deliberately, I'm going to fuck you up.
He didn't foul him and walk up towards him after the foul. Right. Like people like to do.
And I think this is the year we were finding out that the Pistons were kind of punks anyway. The whole time that they had been with, Larry Brown, they basically were contentious and thought that he was holding them back. So, yeah.
A normal foul, but not that hard. And Ben Wallace can't react that way. Wallace is still charged up. Now, Wallace, I would assume, has been ejected. The way Steven Jackson's carrying on, they should eject him as well. They need to somehow find a way to get this game over with as quickly as possible. The problem is, if Wallace is ejected, I'm not...
And there's still 46 seconds left in this game.
Now, why would Steven Jackson need to be ejected? He hasn't thrown a punch. He hasn't shoved or pushed anybody. He's just saying, you're not allowed to attack my teammate. Back up. Y'all need to back up.
Come on now, light-skinned brother. You ain't that crazy. He black and he loud and aggressive. And far as they're concerned, anytime my anger is, anytime we express emotion, everybody responds.
Yep.
He'd have to walk past the Pacer bench to go. Now Artest has jumped over the scorer's table and is trying to get down to the bench.
Now here's what's crazy. For a split second, you can see Ben Wallace saw Artest get up to go fight the people, and he started to go chase after Artest before he realized, like, oh, this nigga's crazy. He's going to fight everybody in this fucking arena.
Yeah, he's not going to defend his hometown fans.
Yeah. Like, look at his reaction when you see him get up.
As quickly as possible. The problem is, if Wallace is ejected, I'm not sure.
Like, where was Big Ben running?
He running fast into the locker room.
Yeah.
That's what he was running. But you could see the cup or whatever that hit Artest in the face.
Mm-hmm.
While he was just laying down.
They'll show that again later. They'll show that again later.
The scorer's table, and it's trying to get down to the bench. Artest is in the stands.
Steven Jackson.
Oh, boop.
Eli, you is not going to fuck with my teammate.
Yes. And Von Ron just went and grabbed, like, some douche. And the douche don't even look like he knows Ron is coming for him.
Nah, he douche. He had that guilty look.
Yeah, didn't they throw a drink or something?
The problem is, if Wallace is ejected, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he threw a cup or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah, the dude in the black was so scared.
Cause he didn't think that that's the bullshit. People do shit because they feel like you're not gonna retaliate cause you're on the motherfucking clock.
His face looked like, oh my God, this is happening. They're really 6'8".
Remind you that spam on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
They just be saying shit to you.
Yeah, you show up at their house and it ain't won't be the motherfucking same.
Mm-hmm. So now, one of my favorite parts, Steven Jackson slides in at about 2 minutes and 3 seconds.
Right, and then somebody threw a drink, and if he socked the person that tossed that drink.
Yeah, because they started holding Ron Artest back. Someone threw a drink on Ron Artest, and Steven Jackson knocked that dude the fuck out.
He's like,
and,
oh, you want to throw drinks? And boop.
And Ron Artest surrounded by like 5 or 6 fans, not security.
Fans.
Not, you know, but fans grabbing him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what, people? For those of you that are young, I know most of us are old. For those of you young, this is why now when you go to the NBA games, they have, like, specific rules that they tell you, do not throw items on the floor. Do not go out onto the court. Do not do this and do not do this. Thank you for participating and showing your ass up to the NBA games. This is why.
Artest is in the stands. Oh, this is awful. Fans are getting involved. Steven Jackson's in the fans. Rasheed Wallace going into the stands.
Meanwhile, little Fred Jackson over there getting drugged. Did you see that? It was a short clip.
I don't even know who he is, but.
Yeah, he was a short dude on the team. Like, he getting drugged.
Into the stands.
Up there?
Oh.
The security trying to somehow restore order.
Now, why was Rasheed standing on the scores table?
Because he don't want to get involved.
To what end, Steve? But he's just,
That's,
but.
That's when you.
If you don't want to get involved, you walk into the locker room.
Yeah, I was gonna say he needs.
He do want to be involved. He just don't want to fight.
Hold
on, I skipped the part.
Only in the D.
The security trying to somehow restore order. Fans and players are going out. Trying to help each other. This is a disgrace. All the players now, they're jumping in there to try and get the other players out because the fans have come involved.
Who is Rip Hamilton trying to get to?
Oh, what a sad scene here at the Palace. And now another fight's breaking out in front of the Pistons bench. It's a fan on the court. This is very, very dangerous. Fans are throwing.
Ron Artest finally got out of the stands, and now he's back in the, on the court.
Yeah, and I think the problem for me, well, I'll wait till you get to the end, never mind.
With liquid in him now onto the court. Ron Artest has a look in his eye that's very scary right now.
Larry Brown actually doing what this thing that a lot of people didn't know you could do. Coaching and telling his team to get the fuck off the court.
Right. Go to the goddamn locker room. Why are y'all still here?
Is going to let this game continue. Now they're throwing bottles out onto the floor.
Yeah, fight breakout. Game over.
They're trying to get the Pacers to go back to the locker room.
Steven Jackson looking like, who else wants some of Devo?
Yeah, he like, who else wants some of Hollywood Court?
Right.
Maybe you could call a hard foul at best has turned into a distant.
Yeah, he was on both.
Look at Austin Crochier.
He don't know what happened.
Like, what? Is this what black people do at
like,
parties?
So this is a nigger moment. 3 minutes and 29 seconds, guys. Look at Austin Crochier. He is literally like, so this is what a nigger moment looks like.
Oh, so this is what they mean when they say there was a brawl in the club. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
An ugly, ugly scene. Chuck Person. The officials, I think they're going to call this game off, and that should be the outcome is definitely decided. You have these ridiculous fans trying to go at the players. And
Chuck Person real, man.
Somebody could really get hurt.
They holding Jermaine O'Neal arms as he walk out because they don't want him knocking anybody else out.
And Ron Artest is fighting the dudes that are holding him.
Oh, yeah, he mad.
For some reason.
Because they holding him.
Right, you see that shit? They were tossing cups and shit down at him when they was trying to take them in there.
3 minutes and 58 seconds. You can tell Steven Jackson is a real ass nigga because he took his shirt off. That's what real niggas do after the fight.
The
and now all the fans jumping into it.
Throw a lot of debris, and they're still not all the way through. But for some reason, one of the people they hold Austin Crozier out, they don't want to get him under the tunnel because they're afraid for his safety. They're pouring liquid over.
Now, see, for me, well, nah, oh, wait, I'll wait till we get to this.
Right.
Wait, comment what just happened. Just at least comment.
Some fans threw drinks on the players as they were exiting
throwing
the tunnel.
All kinds of shit down there.
Just
them.
Throwing drinks and sodas and shit
right.
on them.
Cup, popcorn.
Yeah, all that shit.
Still the beer bottle still.
That's one of the worst scenes I've ever seen. This is an NBA moment in NBA history. The players just have to get out of there. Get back to the locker room and forget about it.
Yeah, Reese, for you to say Mr. Announcer.
I'm actually really surprised they were able to play the audio all the way through this and not pick up a ton of cuss words.
Mm-hmm. He said in history, this is not the first time players have been in the stands, though.
But it was the worst time.
Yeah, yeah, they brawled before, too, but not like this. They brawled each other, not the fans.
The game is been called. The official announcement has been made. The game has been called. Which was the right call. The outcome obviously is over.
Ben Wallace still ain't made the locker room?
Hmm.
Can you say that again?
I say Ben Wallace still hadn't made it to the locker room?
Nope. He was waiting on that fight.
And fans in danger with the emotions and the tempers being completely lost. It all started with a foul. Ron Artest with a foul. But Ben Wallace team was too hard. As you see the Pacers going underneath the tunnel trying to cover their heads.
They don't even got to protect Austin Crusher. Because nobody wants to hit him.
See the debris, some of it being aimed at, and a lot of it you can't see that's just missing wildly.
Yes! Yeah, Austin safe.
The security did their best, but it had escalated to a point where there were players and fans fighting in the stands before there was enough security around. Let's go to Jim Gray.
Mike and Bill, I was sitting right next to Ron Artest when he was laying down before he went into the stands. A fan came and threw a beer and a bottle on him from point blank range. When he got hit by that, he erupted. He knew exactly who it was,
right,
and he jumped right out after him.
That
the fan
didn't...
got in very close proximity, and that's what triggered Ron Artest, who had been lying down even after Ben Wallace had thrown a towel at him. That's what triggered this, Mike. I was standing within a couple of feet of him.
That's what triggered the big brawl in the stands. You saw what just triggered.
Right, because that dude that threw that shit did not think he was going to come up there.
He didn't think it was going to get this real.
Right.
His entire body was, his face and demeanor was,
like, oh,
I can't believe this
shit.
Happened.
Look at the
entire incident. He shit his pants.
With a foul that he should have let go. He fouled Wallace from behind. But Wallace overreacted to that foul. Certainly no winners in this circumstance at all. Was became such a dangerous situation. Then you see Steven Jackson in there taking shot at the stands.
Oh yeah, he getting that dude to turn to spill that drink.
And granted, it's very difficult when you're a player and the fans come at you, either physically or verbally, but you have to restrain yourself. You just can't respond to it. There are so many bottles and cups thrown. There's our test. After what Jim Gray reported,
he's right up in the stands behind.
Remember how long it took for them to figure out who actually threw the cup? Like, it took weeks for them to be like, "Eh, this is the dude who really threw the cup." Because they went up there and whooped some dude ass. I don't know what he was saying, but it was the wrong time.
He should have shut his mouth.
Time, and it was too late. Many of the players going in there to get our test out of there.
They really ain't trying to go into the stand.
And it seemed the whole thing had calmed down when that fan came at Ron Artest. And another incident from Ron Artest.
Artest
so
is crazy.
And again, the fan, hopefully security is able to get the fan and he'll receive proper punishment. But the overreaction.
All teams have been secured. Just leave the palace.
That was Larry Brown, who tried to make an announcement to the fans. So upset with what happened.
He cussed somebody out.
They muted him. How, I don't know. They got all the background noise, but they mute Larry Brown.
Yeah, he must have said something.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight were an absolute disgrace.
Dang, is his cuss words. I guarantee he cussed him for cutting his mic off.
The final score. With the game canceled before the time had run out, Pacers defeat the Pistons with a very... Now let's join John Saunders in our ESPN studio.
Hey. All right, thanks a lot. And gentlemen, you guys played the game. You've covered it longer than me, so I'll let you handle exactly what happened in the
this
fight
is
situation.
Free Twitter.
But I'm here to tell you that the Piston fans, based on what I saw there, are a bunch of punks. It's easy to throw beer on top of somebody who's already down. It's easy to throw a punch at somebody when you're behind them. Show that you're not a sissy. Just do it right. It just makes me mad. That is ridiculous. That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, I think the first thing, you're going to have to address it from the standpoint of what is the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's on Sports Report. He's untouchable.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. He still make announcements. He's
an institution.
He's a former football player, right?
Former hockey player, I believe, and lacrosse. Or something like that.
Oh, yeah, he's still announced to the day.
He strikes me as the type of dude that played a way more physical sport that you ain't, like, yeah, if you come at him, he trying to kill you at all costs.
That was my favorite thing. He was so mad.
Could you blame him, though?
And here's the thing. When I watched it, let me ask you guys. How did y'all watch the Malice of the Palace? How did you first hear about it? Did you watch it
live? I was watching it. Yeah, I was watching it.
I was watching it too.
Did you
call anybody? Because this was before Twitter. Like, did you just watch it by yourself?
No, I was watching the game with Turk. Mm-hmm. I was watching the game. I was like, oh shit, it's going down. I watched that Jermaine O'Neal one hit acquittal. And it made me, I was like, I like him now. Like, I like him. Because I felt like they had their homeboy back, right or wrong. At that moment, they had their homeboy back. I thought Chuck Person was a real dude because he sacrificed himself to make sure Ron didn't get hit in the head or in the face with anything that the fans was throwing at him as he walked through the tunnel.
But you didn't talk to anybody.
Nope. Other than Turk.
I called my boy immediately.
I was we watch this together?
I don't think so, Karen.
Okay.
I don't think so.
That's right. I seen the video afterwards. That's right.
Yeah, I think it was John Smith or John Kennedy. We were all calling each other. Every other minute was beep. Yo, nigga, you watching this shit too? Oh, nigga, they fucking each other. Oh, they fucking up. Like beep. Everything switch over. Like we had jokes. I laughed until my chest hurt. Tears streamed down my eyes. We had our John Saunders impressions, you know, they're props, sissies. Like we were doing all of this shit.
I thought he was going to be fired for them comments too.
Me too. Well, no. At the time, I didn't because I had only talked to black people.
Right.
No, I respected.
Outrage. Yeah.
I respected what he said because I was like, oh, he coming from the straight hood perspective. Like, you know, yeah. I don't give a fuck who you are. I thought he was fired. I just like,
it's not even about. In hindsight, I'm like, obviously, that opinion is not allowed. But at that moment, it was all off the cuff, everyone reacting.
Right.
And my visceral reaction was, how fucking dare you, you mostly white,
correct,
paying customers, disrespect the people on the court because of entitlement. It's not okay to assault the people on the court. And I was so happy that something finally had happened to somebody for doing what I feel is an egregious error of overstepping your bounds, throwing it. So you think you own these guys.
Right.
And y'all ended up finding out that this is not a game.
Mm-hmm. They're people and they will fuck you up.
I was okay with that. You know, so John Saunders, I'm like, yeah, exactly, John Saunders. You went out there and told everybody what the truth is, which is you better sit your white ass down and just sip that drink and let these people on the court do what they do because they are trained athletes.
Right.
They will beat the fuck out of y'all and nobody's going to be able to stop it.
Yeah, and I, for the life of me, I still don't understand why that fan felt like it was appropriate to throw something.
A cup, right.
At whoever he wanted to throw it at, whether referee, Ron Artest, commentator, whoever, why he felt like that was appropriate.
Mm-hmm. You know why I think it was? Because at that time, if you remember, the NBA in that era had reached a very tenuous, understanding with a lot of white fans, which was, hey, these black dudes are thugs and criminals, and I hate the way they play basketball, because that was when defensive basketball was kind of taking over, and it was the Nets, the Pistons, the Pacers were the teams to beat, because they all played really good defense and slowed down the pace of the game. And it was like a lot of white people, I believe, started feeling like, oh, we gotta put these guys back in their place. We're the ones who really run things. We're the customers. I don't like their culture. I don't like these guys. And I think that there was a certain level of entitlement. We turn on the radio and every hour is, I don't like these thugs, these thugs, these thugs.
That's why I stopped listening to FM. I'm not FM, but AM, whatever.
Sports talk
right.
Radio.
That was a period of time that I turned it off because I got tired of every time I turned it on, it was, the code words, we hate these niggas. We hate these niggas, but we love the white boys. What?
And they really believe the rules will protect them.
Right.
Like, we got these rules. You're not supposed to hit me. And they found out, no, you can catch it.
Right. And they don't give a fuck about being suspended, but you got that ass whooping though.
Yeah.
League going to do about this? How is the league going to handle this? We know that the fans that we saw in Detroit tonight were an absolute disgrace. They should be ashamed of themselves. Some of them should be arrested as far as
this
I'm concerned. But when you look at the situation from the league's perspective, you got to believe they're going to take a long, hard look at how this entire process started. All of us were sitting up here looking, and even though Artest fouled Ben Wallace, none of us viewed it as a flagrant foul or that hard of a foul. For Ben Wallace to react that way, the league is definitely going to look at that, and I would not be surprised at all if the the league came down hard on Benny Wallace.
You know, and oftentimes when you look at scenarios that play out like that, the league has to take in consideration who instigates any type of fracas.
So what?
Can't stand him.
Because, again, this is a very emotional game, as you saw Mr. Saunders display. It is sincerely very emotional. You get out there in the heat of battle. These guys are competing at the highest level for high stakes. And then to have the fans overreact like that. And you know what? It is a disservice and a discredit to the game because most of the fans of Detroit are great fans. I think some of the best they are.
However, notice, this is all about the fans right now.
But you can see a lot of this, I think, was initiated because of alcohol.
Well, no doubt about it. You know, you look at the start of the incident. Obviously, it was triggered by Ben Wallace, his reaction to the foul by Ron Artest. Ron Artest, interestingly enough, just walked away. He tried to stay out of it. The Detroit Pistons fans are the ones responsible for the escalation of this, obviously, by pouring beer, by throwing objects on the players. Sometimes as a player, you're so emotional. The last thing you want to do is be subjected to that kind of abuse from a fan in the stands. And Ron Artest obviously wasn't going to have it. He went in there. The thing blew up. It's completely to blame she put on the Detroit Pistons fans without question.
You know, the point you made, too, you even saw fans throwing punches. And I think the league has to look at it from a security standpoint, making sure you have enough able bodies there to really thwart any type of altercation here. You can just see there is not enough security within this whole scenario here that's going to prevent this type of fallout. And, you know, you hate to see it there. You see a fan throwing punches.
And they did change it after that. Remember they added all those people that don't look at the game, they just look at you?
They don't get to see the game. They be getting the ball, he's hitting them in the back of the head. They don't even move. They don't move to get the basketball or nothing. They just sit there and stare at the fans.
Yep, and I think they have like two or three like a square. So it's like three on one side of the court, three on the other side of the basket, like three or four kind of in the middle. And like you said, they don't watch the game. They literally watch the audience.
Which isn't that, again, another fan throwing punches. You know, you hate to see that because the league, I thought, really off to a positive start.
Let's also keep in mind the fact that once that incident took place, you could see that Ben Wallace, once he saw how it escalated, how the fans had gotten involved, even he tried to restrain himself. Rasheed Wallace was in the crowd trying to separate guys. Several of the Indiana Pacers were trying to protect their players and stop the incident. And you saw fans literally, as these guys were walking through the tunnel, throwing beers on the just horrible. I'm interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how the league handles this situation with its players.
I think John hit the nail on the head more than anything. It's just cowardly. Cowardly. When you see people throwing punches.
That dude's doing. He ain't said a word yet.
What, Karen?
That dude, the first dude to speak.
Yeah.
And he said he played hockey. Of course, you probably deal with all that racism and shit like that. That shit, like the people in the chat said, brought flashbacks. He was like, "Fuck no, you will not disrespect people."
Oh, he was angry.
Right.
Yeah, he was called the N word once in a hockey game, and he went to the stands and fought some dude.
Situation, if they ever were face to face with any one of those athletes, they would turn and run. Instead, they know they're coming up from behind them to outnumber the players 20-1. And they're throwing punches.
You know, the most unfortunate thing is even after that push by Ben Wallace, there was nothing else really happened other than the players kind of running and getting at each other. You know, that happens all the time in the NBA. However, then you had the fans. You just hate to see it, period. I mean, that's a bunch of crap.
Understand this. Ron Artest is laying on the scorer's table, and somebody threw a beer from the stands. That's how this really, really started. Yeah. Hopefully the league will recognize that.
I have never seen a situation covering sports where the players go into the stands where it wasn't first instigated by those fans. And I say it again, you're a bunch of punks based on what you did.
what do we end up with that? The players. It was all the players' fault.
Hey, I'm mad they didn't show that Jermaine O'Neal, though, when he had a quarter.
I couldn't find it either.
It's like they intentionally skipped past it during this video clip. Because he laid that dude the fuck out.
That dude looked like Turtle from Entourage. And he caught the breaks.
But he was the first one on the court, I believe.
Yeah, and I love that dude because that dude runs on the court. And he's like, they look so much smaller from
me. Right. They do. You get up close and personal. For y'all that's never been that close to a professional basketball player, goddamn, I'm short. You're literally looking up. And the problem that I had with the whole thing is that not one single solitary fan was charged with anything. I had a problem with that.
I don't remember if they were or not. They weren't? None were?
Not to the best of my knowledge. You remember them saying any fans got arrested or charged or at any period of time for crimes?
I think some people lost tickets and shit.
No, I'm talking about jail time.
I don't know if they lost. I don't know if there was criminal charges pressed or not.
Okay, honestly. I didn't think so.
But yeah, it was also the other part that was funny when Turtle ran on the court. When they make eye contact. And then Turtle puts his hands up like, by reflex, like, oh, I had to protect myself. And my man, Jermaine O'Neal hit him with that Kamehameha. Like, he hit him. And honestly, the only thing saved that dude's life is Jermaine O'Neal couldn't get good footing.
It looked like he slipped. Yeah.
So he slipped into him with a sliding tiger punch.
But if he'd hit him full force, he'd hurt him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a great fucking... Oh.
Hey, ironically, they sell more courtside seats now than ever.
Sure, they do. They do? I've never heard that.
I mean, they got the seats so close now, you know, you see fans on the bench. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's you know, you got the scores table.
I wonder,
see a few seats for fans, and then you see the coaches' seats. Like, they that close now.
Because the fans needed to learn how to act one time. Like, I'm okay with the Malice in the Palace because we haven't had anything close to this since.
We've been saying for years that a good slap can change your life.
Change your life.
Right? Your whole...
Or man or woman.
Right. Your whole attitude about everything. Would you be like, okay. I might need to calm this shit down.
Yep. Light bulb moment for everybody.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. La, 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 la. Hey, Mamba. Hey, Mamba. My man, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bean Bryant.
Kobe.
He wanted to talk about, like, he's kind of been making a tour around the NBA since they're not a competitive team this year. Although they are with Swaggy on the team.
Mm-hmm. They look so good.
You get Kobe one nigga that can create a shot other than him, and it looks fine. He's been just doing his league ambassador type shit with his old man commentary, and I love it. Kobe considers the public pressure for longtime NBA stars to take hometown discount deals, such as Dirk Nowitzki's contract, a big coup for NBA owners. It's the popular thing to do, Brian said. Oh, wait, I can play this, can I?
I'm Prim Srikripat with your ESPN headline. You those hometown discount deals where players are pressured by the public to accept less lucrative deals so teams have more money to pick up role players is a big coup for NBA owners. Well, that's according to Kobe Bryant, who was commenting on Dirk Nowitzki's latest contract.
Who's this analyst lady?
Mm-hmm. I was trying not to objectify her.
Man, I just want to
she fine.
Dog, I just want to enslave her. And then jack my dick and then have her kick me in the nuts.
I just want to have sex with her personality.
Then when she kicks me in the nuts, she's actually free. And then after that, you know, she can rape me in front of me, you know, and force me to watch her and then spit on me. And I'm going to at her on Twitter with this too and see if she'll be down with it.
Mm-mm. I want to have sex with a personality. Mm-hmm. Make love to a positive traits.
And Amin Al-Hassan. So, Amin, first of all, let me just get your reaction. What would you think about Kobe's comments?
Well, here's the thing. There's two ways of absorbing this comment. If we're just talking about the economics of how much the players are paid and the economics of the collective bargaining
group. Nah, we do the analysis here. I thought y'all was going to give us the news, you sons of bitches. They really just was like, here's what he said a little bit. But yeah, he says the popular thing to do, the player takes less, blah, 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 blah. I think it's a big coup for the owners to put players in situations where the public perception puts pressure on them to take less money. Because if you don't, then you get criticized for it. It's absolutely brilliant, but I'm not going for it. I know the new head of the Players Association ain't going for it either. Yes! Yes! Tell them, Kobe! He agreed to a 2-year, $48.5 million, all of his money extension with the Lakers last season.
Mm-hmm. I want all of it, every dollar.
Mm-hmm.
How much can I get again? Yeah, all that.
Dirk resigned for $25 million over 3 years.
Idiot.
You broke-ass bitch.
That's why. That's why you fall for them scams from from the Russian.
You already
black women.
You already missing a ton of money from when you got gaffled. Now look at you taking getting gaffled by Mark Cuban too.
You know he don't give a fuck about the players. He keep telling you this over and over again.
What does Brian think about Nowitzki, who has never used an agent, taking such a steep hometown discount? I think it means he's not playing in Los Angeles, Brian said with a laugh. Oh man. But yeah, that's just funny, man. Anyway, this has been another episode of Balls D Sports. Appreciate everybody for coming out today.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Justin, dead tired since we got up at early this morning to play some ball, but we made it, dog. We toughed it through. We put the pussy on the chain wax.
Put that pussy on the chain wax.
Put that pussy on that chain
wax. On the chain wax.
All right, we see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace out, y'all.